County Ballpark. I'm doing play-by-play this time around. I'm being joined by my partner Drew. And well, first off, Drew, how are you? How are you doing? Happy West Virginia Day!
Absolutely, happy West Virginia Day to you as well, Manny. And you know, it's great to be back here at the ballpark. Great to have the opportunity to host a game on West Virginia Day, and hopefully the fans in attendance will get to see another Black Bears victory.
Of course, and before we get into this new series against the Williamsport Crosscutters, I want to talk about the West Virginia's weekend series against the Frederick Keys, and a lot more success on the weekend than they had here at home. They actually swept the Keys, and in their last game, they also got the win 7-4 on 9 hits to the Frederick Keys 11. And again, in that game, we had a couple standout performances by especially the biggest one coming from Hunter May, who recorded 2 hits and 5 trips to the plate, 1 run, 2 RBIs, and 2 doubles in that game. Big storyline was the new players and how they were going to get accustomed to it. Drew, how did you view West Virginia's performance on the weekend and your anticipation into this series?
Honestly, Manny, I feel like the series for West Virginia over the past weekend couldn't have gone any better. You know, they were in a little bit of a rut going into that series, had a record of 2-10, dead last in the MLB draft league by quite a few games, and they had to really fight to claw their way back. And this was actually something that Mike and I had talked about in the first 3 home games against the Frederick Keys themselves, was that it was going to take time for this Black Bears roster to really settle in, get used to playing here in the MLB draft league, getting acclimated to their new teammates for the summer. And then once they got through that little rough patch, it was going to be smooth sailing for them. And they found a way to get the bats going on the road. The pitching, for the most part, was strong. They got themselves into a little bit of a jam Friday when Frederick found a way to put 5 runs on the board. But aside from that, it was 3 solid victories for the Black Bears over the weekend, and now getting some momentum before they kickstart a 6-game homestand.
Of course, and you mentioned the pitching there. The starter on or in the game for the closeout game of that series was, I'm blanking on the name, was Max Alba, who pitched four innings, gave up 3 hits, no earned runs, and struck out 6 of the Frederick Keys players. Another newcomer having early success with the Mariners, after that being followed by Ryan Mann, who only allowed 1 hit, no runs. Tyler Johnson, 2 hits on 1 earned run. Brandon Noriega also came in, allowing 2 hits on 1 earned run, and closing it out with Chase Smith, who allowed 1 hit, and Ryan Velasquez, another one of those new faces, had a pretty strong outing, 2 hits and 2 earned runs, and also recorded 2 strikeouts to West Virginia's 14 total strikeouts on yesterday, actually. So again, going back to you, Drew, on this topic of the pitching, it seemed in the last home series last week that a lot of the issues were that me and Michael talked about, was that it was really the pitching combined with the offense that wasn't really getting going early on. It was really the pitching that put them in a hole early on in those games, and having them claw from behind. How big is the pitching? How big do you view the pitching in this series to get off to a good start and kind of build momentum from there?
The pitching in this series, Manny, is going to be absolutely huge. I think if the Black Bears pitching staff can go out there and continue what they had going for them in Maryland against the Frederick Keys, then they're really going to put themselves in a prime opportunity to get a great result in each of these 6 home games. Now, going back to that series you were talking about with the State College Spikes last time you were on the air, the first game of the series, it was actually the Black Bears offense that really hurt them in the 7-inning contest. The State College Spikes only putting up 2 runs on the board. That was Jay Schuler's last start as a member of the Black Bears. And then, like you mentioned, the next night, the Black Bears pitching staff really let them down, conceding 11 runs. And the third game of that series was on pace to be even worse for Black Bears pitching. And fortunately for them, it was suspended in the top of the fourth due to lightning. And so the Black Bears got a fresh opportunity after getting out of that series with the State College Spikes here at home be able to hit the road against the Frederick Keys in game one of the series, in which the Black Bears won 8-5. We saw Cedric Day Grand Prix go out there, throw four innings of two-run ball. Just one of those was earned, and he really set the tempo. Of course, we saw Turner Spoljarek come in that game in relief. Trey Braithwaite ended up picking up the save there for West Virginia. And then the second game of the series, the Black Bears taking it 9-3. We saw Jeremy Cook start that one off with three innings of two-run ball, and then followed by some solid work out of the bullpen, including Tucker Shally, Peyton Olenek, Zach Ottinger, and Will Schomburg, to really be able to go out there and slam the door for the Black Bears and at that point ultimately claim the series. But also Austin Becker able to get some work in. So it's been a little bit of a mix thus far with the Black Bears in terms of pitching. Sometimes they've had strong days, sometimes it hasn't been so strong for them, and it's really going to be a determination of how this game falls based upon what the pitching does early.
Of course, and going to a more broader view of this series, now that we have kicking off today against the Williamsport Crosscutters, coming off a sweep of Mahoning Valley on the weekend, and getting a win before that, they're on a streak of four games won. But also the Black Bears coming off like we mentioned, the sweep of the Frederick Keys on the weekend. The Black Bears still find themselves at the bottom of the league standings at 5-10, but Williamsport has managed to climb the table and are now tied with Mahoning Valley with 10 wins and 5 losses. But the Black Bears now sit at 5-10, only 2 games back of the Frederick Keys, who sit at 7-8. So again, depending how this series goes, and if it can manage to be as positive as it was on the weekend, the Black Bears could also, depending on how Frederick Keys does in their series starting today, the Black Bears can find themselves in a good spot at the table, depending if it all goes well. But going now to the pitching matchup, we have Aaron Roberts for the Williamsport Crosscutters, and we have Thomas Gross pitching for the West Virginia Black Bears. Gross coming into this game with a 13.50 ERA, and Roberts doing significantly better with a 4.5 ERA. Again, we touched on the pitching and how important it'll be. How do you view this pitching matchup going for either team, and how big is it that the starters get off to a pretty good start in this game?
Well, for Thomas Gross, it's going to really be an opportunity for him to redeem himself. Of course, he mentioned that one outing that he had that came in relief, and Gross really didn't get the results that he wanted, hence that 13.5 ERA that you mentioned over limited opportunities out of the bullpen. Of course, if my memory serves me correctly, he came in sort of a mop-up relief role, so kind of got thrown into the fire, probably a little bit unanticipated from Gross. But in terms of Aaron Roberts, his last appearance, the only one that he's had thus far, has also been a start. So in terms of going out there and having that starting pitcher mentality, Aaron Roberts has the upper hand. But Thomas Gross, saw him downstairs going through his pregame pitching routine, has plenty of experience in terms of taking the hill to kickstart a ball game. So he's going to be able to showcase that for some scouts here tonight and potentially work his way into Jed Jerko's rotation.
Of course, and again, getting closer and closer now to first pitch, only 20 minutes away here. The weather looking significantly a lot better than it did last week. A cool 68 degrees tonight, very cloudy, overcast skies, but no chance of rain. We had issues with that in the last home series that we had here. And a big theme tonight, for those that managed to get their way to the ballpark tonight, is cryptids of WVU kind of celebrating that West Virginia Day. Possible Mothman sightings here at the ballpark, possibly. If we do catch it, we'll make sure to mention that. West Virginia rocking their Mothman inspired uniforms, white pants with a black and white top, kind of following again that mysterious kind of Mothman theme that we have going on here at the ballpark. And Williamsport on the other side rocking mostly all gray bottoms, gray top with red sleeves, red numbers with a black lining on those as well. And as we wait here for the umpires to make their way out here, I'll go back to you, Drew. What are the your key points or points of emphasis that you're looking for out of the Black Bears first and then out of the Crossguarders as this series goes on?
So for the Black Bears, first things first is scoring early, scoring often. You look back at the three-game set against the Frederick Keys this past weekend. The Friday night cap, the Black Bears put up 4 runs over the first 2 innings. You go to Saturday's 9-3 decision, the Black Bears putting up 7 of their 9 runs in the first 3 innings of the ballgame. And then, of course, Sunday afternoon's game on Father's Day took the Black Bears until the 3rd and the 4th inning to really get the offense going, but able to do so before Frederick. And that really made the difference for them. Pitchers have so much more confidence when they're out on the mound pitching with a lead rather than going out there either trailing or with the game tied, because it puts a lot more pressure on them mentally, knowing that they have to execute perfectly rather than just going out there and focusing on what they know how to do best, which is hitting the zone, trusting in themselves and their battery mate behind the plate. And so you could really see that difference for West Virginia when they found a way to get on the board first compared to when they've struggled in the early goings of the season when they conceded the first run, especially that State College series in which the Spikes took both games that were complete. And as for Williamsport, honestly, for them, the biggest thing is just continuing what they have been doing. They are 10-5 through the first 15 games of the first half of the season. First-year manager Jesse Litch really has the opportunity to go out there and show that, you know, these first-year managers are legitimate. And for Jesse Litch to really be able to showcase that he's got guys that are going to be able to go out there and compete, guys that are trying to make a name for themselves and get drafted. And the Williamsport Crosscutters are coming off of a sweep of their own, as you mentioned previously, surprisingly over Mahoning Valley, which has really tightened things up in the MLB Draft League standings you were talking about a few minutes ago. But for Williamsport, just going out there, continuing what they've been doing, getting the bats going, and if they can, finding a way to score that first run as well. That first run is so crucial in any ball game, as nobody wants to be playing from behind. Both teams are going to be looking for it in the early goings of this one.
Of course, and as we await here for Bill Nevins to give out the lineups and kind of get us going here, I look around the stadium now as more fans start to come in, kind of fill out more of the seats. A lot more lively crowd I'm seeing here than the last week. Obviously, the positive performances on the weekend help drive in more people. And, of course, a theme-inspired game also does not hurt. Going more to the teams now. Looking at the starting lineups here for the Black Bears, we're seeing Sam Krill back in there again, and it seems to me, looking at these lineups now, Sam Antonacci, Ryan McCoy, and Hunter May, I think are the biggest players to keep an eye on, or the biggest ones that kind of stand out to me, just because other than Sam Krill, of course, Antonacci, May, and McCoy didn't start off the season right from the first game and kind of had to make their way in there. Now it seems that they're virtually almost untouchable in this lineup as they have started a handful of the games since they've been here. And specifically with Hunter May coming off of such a good performance on the weekend, if your manager, Jed Jerko, I'll ask you this first. If your manager, Jed Jerko, can you afford to rest him, or does it just depend on how he's doing? Do you not base it off of how he's doing, or just a matter of how his energy level is?
I think, obviously, this being a showcase league here in the MLB Draft League, I think you got to balance that fine line between giving guys opportunities, everybody an opportunity, and also trying to prioritize winning a little bit. I mean, when Jed Jerko gave his preseason press conference, he made mention of the fact, you know, that winning teams get scouted more often. And in order for these guys to find themselves in a minor league affiliated baseball, they've got to get scouts here. They've got to get their names on a positive report, and it starts with winning baseball games. So for Jed Jerko, it's really trying to walk that tight line between, you know, not playing guys too much so that everybody gets an opportunity, and also making sure that players are well rested and ready to go. And as for those three names that you mentioned there, Ryan McCoy, Hunter May, and also Sam Antonacci, those three guys, they're used to being workhorses. They all came from very talented programs. They've had the opportunity to really work and play every day, especially Ryan McCoy. This is the second time he's been here with the Black Bears in the MLB Draft League, so he knows exactly what he's dealing with when he works with Jed Jerko, recognizing the fact that he's going to be in the lineup more often than not. And as for Hunter May and Sam Antonacci, they're going to have to start to, or they're starting to already pick up on the fact that they're going to be the key guys in this lineup. And so also more often than not, they're going to find their names on the lineup card, getting the majority of those at-bats and trying to make a name for themselves here in the MLB Draft League.
Of course. And now reading the lineups here before Bill Nevins gets us kicked off for your West Virginia Black Bears. We have Sam Crow leading off. He'll play right field. Sam Antonacci will follow him at the two spot, playing shortstop. Ryan McCoy finds himself at his usual first base, playing batting third. Batting cleanup is Blaze Brothers again, playing left field again, like he did almost a week ago exactly, when he did it against the Spikes last week. Hunter May is DHing. He'll bat fifth. Garrick Anglin is playing third base. He'll follow him up. Caden Trankel will play center field, batting at the seven. Mauricio Milan will bat eighth, and he'll be doing the catching duties. And Xavier Pinales is at second, batting ninth. For the Williamsport Crosscutters, we have Josue Urdaneta playing shortstop. He'll lead off. We have Edarian Williams batting second, playing second base. Hogan McIntosh will play first. And at the cleanup spot, we have Jax Cash, who will be doing the catching duties. After him, we have Alan Shibley, who will find himself at right field. And we are playing left field. We have Logan Flood, who will find, like I said, playing left field. Nunez, following him up, he will play third base. Cole Evans, at the eighth spot, will play center field. And we have, as the last guy playing or doing the DHing duties, Eddie Niemann, for the Crosscutter. So, as we actually still wait for the umpires to... they seem like they were about to make their way out here, but as we wait for the umpires to come out here, and we see more fans trickle in here, we will take our attention towards the West Virginia Black Bears, as most of the players find themselves already set to go down there. Some of the cross guard players are also getting their last sprints in and their last swings in before the game kicks off. Again, the temperature here is a cool 68, and will decrease as the game goes on, playing the full 9 innings here tonight. Like we previously mentioned before, the only special rule only applies to Tuesdays, which catches back here again tomorrow when, again, the Crosscutters come. When the Crosscutters come back here for Game 2 of that. But for right now. We are awaiting the umpire still. A lot of the Eagle fans are filling up the front rows of this game again, a lot due to the success of the Black Bears over the weekend. And like we previously mentioned, the league standings, if you're a Black Bears follower, is not the most promising right now, sitting at 5-10. But the most important thing is that you've cut that deficit, obviously, after the road sweep this weekend. And now going into this series, the first of back-to-back home series, this week that we have. It's very important for the Black Bears to get off to that hot start or continue that momentum they had going from yesterday and Saturday and Friday, to that matter. Just because, like we mentioned before, the games behind, especially from those two top teams of the leaderboards, Williamsport and Mahoning Valley, they sit at 10-5. But the gap has closed a little bit for the Black Bears in that. Obviously, winning makes all these games a lot more fun for the players, and in turn just makes them perform well. But being sat at 5-10, they're only two games back of Frederick Hughes, who they, like we mentioned, just swept. That could easily flip, and we could find the Black Bears in possibly being two games back of Williamsport, if obviously the best case scenario is a sweep. If they were to sweep them, they'd find themselves two games back of them, and then obviously Mahoning Valley will be playing Trenton for their new series kicking off today. But depending on how that goes, the Black Bears could find themselves in a good spot midway through the week, if it all goes right. And like we mentioned again, this is only the first of two back-to-back series here, as the second series will kick off on Thursday and go into the first couple days of the weekend, when the Frederick Keys actually come here to Monongahela County Ballpark for the first of three starting on Thursday. That is something to look forward to, and if you're the fans, the more fans that come out here will get to enjoy the themes that we have going on almost every day or every day of this week. Starting with today, like we mentioned, we have the cryptids of WVU being the theme, with Mothman being the outright star of the theme tonight. And possibly we could have a Mothman sighting tonight, if we're lucky, or if the fans here are lucky enough to get that. Tomorrow's theme will be follow up this one. It'll be Tuesday, $2 off of tickets, $2, $2 hot dogs, $2 small drinks, and $2 popcorn, 22% off select merch in the team shop. So a very intriguing theme there, to say the last. And then for the last game of this first homestand series, will be Pride Night on June 22nd, and we'll be celebrating, of course, the Pride movement or just here at the ballpark. So make sure, if you're listening and if you are able to come to the stadium, those are just a few of the themes that will be I'll be lying in wait as we go throughout the week. We finally have some movement over there by the umpires. There only seems to be two making their way to the field as of now. My partner Drew did get us the three names, but only two are making their way out here. We'll see if the third follows quickly after that. But as we said, we are getting closer to game time. Scheduled to be 7:05, just 5 minutes from now. But might be some setbacks, some possible issues going on back there. We shall see. But for the meantime, we mentioned the starting lineups and the outlook for this series, or what Drew did. I guess I should keep mine here while we have more time than anticipated. Like we mentioned, the Black Bears are coming off a lot of very streaky start of this season through 17 games, this being the 17th one. But again, this is a great opportunity for them to show the home crowd just exactly what this team can do at full strength now that they have their more established players in. Me and Mike mentioned it before how important the chemistry was to building a good, successful program. And now that the new guys have kind of at least settled in a little bit more, we have been seeing the balls flying, the runs start piling up. So that is very important to maintain for the Black Bears, as it only helped the pitchers, especially Thomas Gross, who doesn't have the most flattering of ERAs, but if he can rely on his hitters to get some runs on the board, it'll only make his job a lot easier and will prevent the cross cutters from gaining any momentum. And as Drew joins me back here in the studio, seems that managers are meeting with the umpires down there, and we should be, as they exchange lineup cards, we should be getting closer and closer to first base. But real quickly, I will ask Drew, predictions for just tonight. What do you expect to see, and will West Virginia continue their success of the weekend?
Well, it's going to be a battle of two teams that have some momentum riding into this one with sweeps. Of course, mentioned the Crosscutters sweeping the Scrappers, the Black Bears, their sweep over the Frederick Keys, and both sides are going to be fighting hard. Of course, neither one wants to see their win streak come to an end. Both teams looking to make it four in a row for their sides. Williamsport, I should say, looking to keep the pressure on Mahoning Valley atop the MLB Draft League standings. The Black Bears looking to try and claw their way out of the bottom of the barrel here in the Draft League, as we see our umpires going over some ground rules here about Mon County Ballpark, making sure they have every element covered, left center, right center, and right field. But for these teams, it's just going to be a matter of continuing to do what they've done to this point, especially for the Black Bears over the last three games in terms of going out there and getting the results. I'm expecting a very even slated contest over the course of this one tonight, nine innings, and hopefully the Black Bears are able to get the best of the Crosscutters and come out of this one as the victors and really continue to get some momentum. It would be the first time that they would beat an opponent that isn't the Frederick Keys, and the Black Bears need to take care of that sooner or later.
Right you are, and we will pass it on to Bill Nevins as he gives us the starting lineups.
Sixth and playing left field, number four, Blow.
was our national anthem being played and the lineups given. We should be ready for first pitch in just a matter of moments. Again, it will be the cross cutters giving us the start here. Josue Urdaneta leading off for them. As he does make his way out here, and it will be Urdaneta, Adarian Williams, and Hogan McIntosh, the first to face Thomas Gross here in the first series of this week. Like we mentioned, back-to-back home series we have this week. A lot to look forward to. And as Thomas Gross gets his last couple warm-up pitches in here, seems that we have a lot more people in the stands here tonight than we have. A very fruitful sight to see if you're a Black Bears fan.
Absolutely, of course. You know, now that school's out, everybody's able to get out to the ballpark. You don't have to worry about getting home, getting the kids to bed in time before waking up the next day. Attendance starts to see a little bit of an uptick. And with the Black Bears riding that three-game win streak with the series sweep on the road against Frederick, now's as good of a time as ever to start to get the crowd into this one. Have yet to see Mont County Ballpark at full capacity in the MLB Draft League as a result of last year still working through some COVID-19 mitigations, but have the capability of being at full capacity if the crowd decides to make their way out. And, of course, on West Virginia Day, certainly no reason to not be at the ballpark and cheering on the Black Bears.
Of course, and before when we gave the lineup, Blaze Brothers playing left field again. He did play in left field the first game against State College Spikes last Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Odd sight to see Blaze Brothers in left compared to his usual shortstop position. Is that something you look towards and think that's a bit odd or a bit not concerning, but it's just not his natural position? Is that something you look towards as something that stands out to you, or is it just he's just able to play that position?
I think it speaks to the versatility of Blaze Brothers. I saw him play there over the weekend in Frederick. I think it's also a matter of Jed Jerko wanting to get his bat in the lineup, but also getting guys like Sam Antonacci, Garrick Anglin, Xavier Pinales reps in the infield and having to keep Brothers' bat in the lineup and throw him out there and left.
Of course, and we are set for baseball here as Urdaneta steps up to the box and Thomas Gross throws out the first pitch. Called strike there on the fastball.
Gross utilizes a four-pitch mix, a fastball, a curveball, a slider, and a changeup, so a lot of variety in the delivery here from the right-hander.
Throws in another pitch there. It is way outside. He's never going to swing at that Urdaneta. He evens the count out 1-1.
It's an opportunity here for Gross to attack the zone early and attack it often and establish the tone here for the Black Bears.
Again, another pitch thrown in there. Seems like another fastball on the inside part of the plate. Just fouled off onto the netting. 1-2 early for Gross.
This is exactly what you want to see from Thomas Gross. Attack the zone, use the fastball to set the tone.
And a low pitch there, broke a little bit too much there. Urdaneta not flinching on that breaking ball, and even the count at 2-2 here. The pitch coming in from Gross, it is another would have been strike, but fouled off again by Urdaneta.
Urdaneta showing his patience here at the plate, recognizing that Gross is going to attack the zone more often than not with the fastball, and seeing him get the wood to a couple of those from Gross, and just a matter of straightening out the swing and trying to get it in fair territory.
The pitch comes in here. It is just tied there, high in the zone for Urdaneta again. Does not attempt to check swing at that. The count runs full to 3-2 on the first batter for the crosscutters. The pitch comes in again, and again it's a line drive right back to Gross, who takes it himself to McCoy and records the first out.
And that's exactly what you want right there. If you're Thomas Gross, that easy comebacker to the mound, able to calmly field that one. Take your time trotting over to first base, and you underhand toss that one to a steady veteran in the Black Bears lineup in Ryan McCoy and get one out in the books here.
Absolutely, as Edarian Williams steps up to the plate as the second opponent that Thomas Gross will face here. The pitch comes in on right. It's a called a strike. I was going to say right on the outside part or right below the strike zone, but it was called a strike. Second pitch again is a strike, a called a strike by Vish Gautam there behind the plate. Quick 0-2 count.
Looked like the changeup that time from Gross, able to catch the outer half of the zone.
Again, Thomas Gross deals the windup, the pitch. It is smacked to center field, but nothing that Caden Trankel seems to have any issue with. Records the second out on the flyout. Two quick outs here for the Black Bears.
Again, Gross giving up hard contact there off the bat of Edarian Williams, but right at Caden Trankel. Just has to take a few steps to his right, able to calmly gather that one in for out number two.
As Hogan McIntosh makes his way out here, the Michaelville, Iowa native will be the third batter Thomas Gross faces. Gross throws in the first pitch, and it's a breaking ball on the outside part of the plate. Too far outside for ball one.
Of course, Hogan McIntosh, certainly no stranger to the MLB Draft League, was a part of it last season, believe with Williamsport, as he waves at the pitch there, a fastball from Thomas Gross.
Again, good pitch location there by Thomas Gross, who again is attacking these batters 1-1 count now with two outs as he winds up, sets up for the pitch, and it's way outside, trying to get that out, that lower outside part of the play, too far outside, 2-1. With two outs here for Gross.
Pitch just got away from Gross there. You can see him with the new ball working through his grip, just trying to reestablish what he's done over the first two outs here in the top of the first.
Again, winds up and gets a hack there by Hogan McIntosh. Good off-speed pitch there. Way too early in that was McIntosh. 2-2 count with two outs, looking to make this a quick first outing for Gross. As he winds up for the payoff pitch, and it is another stringing strike. Gets Hogan McIntosh a strikeout, retires to the side as the Black Bears will come to bat next. We are back here at Monongalia County Ballpark as the Black Bears now take their first hacks here up against Aaron Roberts. Again, it'll be Sam Creel to lead off, followed by Sam Antonacci and Ryan McCoy. Aaron Roberts looking to have the same success here as Thomas Gross did, but obviously the Black Bears will look to counter that as they warm up here before they face off against Aaron Roberts. He didn't have to sit and watch for much of that, as that was one of the quicker first half of innings I've seen here out of a Black Bears pitcher. Good start to this homestand.
Absolutely. Thomas Gross utilized all of his pitches over the course of that top of the first inning, showing off what he can bring to the table. And Aaron Roberts is going to look to do much of the same. Certainly familiar with playing top competition out of the Pac-12. Was drafted in 2019 in the 15th round out of high school by the Boston Red Sox. So plenty of experience for Aaron Roberts and an opportunity for him to try and get his name called once again this summer.
Of course, as we are finally ready for the Black Bears to get their first action here. Sam Crail steps into the box, ready to face the first pitch here by Aaron Roberts. Gets the sign. By Cash behind the plate, winds up. First pitch is a called ball on the outside part of the plate. Good patience there by Sam Crail. As Aaron Roberts again gets assigned for the second pitch, winds up, and it is a called strike on the inside part of the plate there. Good comeback pitch there to get Sam Crail looking. 1-1 count there.
Seeing two fastballs from Aaron Roberts in the early goings of this one.
Again, Aaron Roberts takes the windup, and it is a foul, just foul, over the head of Nunez there at third base. Good solid contact, but it is the second strike for Sam Crail.
You have to wonder if Sam Crail isn't necessarily seeing the ball out of Roberts' hands until it's too late. Two fastballs there that he's taken for strikes. Has started his swing a little bit too late. The first one couldn't get anything to it, and now this one, a very late swing that he just chopped foul.
Of course, Aaron Roberts again for the payoff pitch there. Does not get the call there. Questionable there from Sam Crail to see if he checked swing. If he did indeed check swing, he does. Gets called for the second ball here in 2-2. Again, Roberts gets the sign. Now the payoff pitch again for him. Gets a swinging strike there from Sam Crail. Bobbled there by Cash behind the plate, but make sure to tag him there for the first out.
Just an ugly swing there from Sam Crail going down to a knee as we see it here on the replay. That backdoor breaking ball out of the hand of Aaron Roberts, completely fooling Crail. And it's an easy out number one for the Crosscutters in the bottom of the first.
Now we do get one of the more on streak or hot hitters that this lineup has in Sam Antonacci. Going up to make his way up to the second spot in the batting lineup. Gets the first pitch here. Way outside for ball one.
Seen both of these pitchers early here. Sitting 92-93 with the fastball for these guys. In terms of the hitters, very comfortable velocity to deal with, but still not necessarily a piece of cake.
Of course, and the second pitch here, again, is on the outside part of the plate. Aaron Roberts his last start was on June 14th at home versus Trenton, where he pitched two innings, gave up one hit and one earned run. Again, not having, or gets the third pitch here. Again, this foul off by Sam Antonacci, making it one ball and two strikes here.
It's the same thing that we saw with Sam Crail. Very late to the fastball out of the hand of Aaron Roberts. Of course, Antonacci almost taking out a few crosscutters down in the third base dugout in the process, but still fighting here with one out in the bottom of the first.
And the payoff pitch comes again. It's a breaking ball again. That backdoor breaking ball that we saw to Sam Crail does not get Sam Antonacci to swing. That's 2-2 with only one out here.
And that's a good take there from Sam Antonacci, recognizing that Roberts is probably going to throw something off speed, throw something down in the dirt, try to get that swing and a miss like he did with Sam Crail and not falling victim to it.
Aaron Roberts again winds up, takes the pitch, and gets a swinging strike there by Antonacci on the pitch on the inside part of the plate. Two outs here, two strikeouts early on for Aaron Roberts.
Roberts that time going back to his bread and butter, the fastball knee height. Antonacci just couldn't get anything on it, and was quickly two gone here in the bottom of the first.
Again there, like you mentioned, two strikeouts, making good work of that fastball. Seems to have good early control there as he faces the heavy hitter in Ryan McCoy. First pitch to him is a breaking ball right to the hands of McIntosh, who just takes himself to the bag for the third out. 1-2-3 inning here for the Crosscutters as well. We make our way back here to Monongahela County Ballpark as the top of the second inning comes underway, and Thomas Gross will face Jax Cash, who is doing the catching duties today. We'll be facing Jax Cash to start off this second inning. Thomas Gross gets the sign. The first pitch is a called ball there, as Jax Cash almost went for that pitch. Seemed to be high in the zone, but didn't go regardless. 1-0 count.
Pitch ran in on Cash there a little bit, recognized that, and held up in time.
Second pitch here is chopped back to Thomas Gross. A little issue getting feeling it, and slings it to Ryan McCoy, who bobbles it. Bad throw there. Leads McCoy off the bag there. Makes Jax Cash usually cruise into first base on the infield single there.
It's always going to be a tough play for Gross, having to backpedal with that high chopper, doing everything he could to try and get the ball over to first base, but the throw just off the mark. Ryan McCoy able to get the glove to it, but couldn't squeeze the ball in completely, and it's a leadoff base runner for the Crosscutters.
And that would probably go down as an error as Alan Shively makes his way into the box here. Pitch outside for the first pitch to Shively is called the ball, 1-0.
And this is an important batter right here for Thomas Gross in trying to retire Alan Shively, recognizing that, you know, this is a situation where the Crosscutters could strike early and doing your part to keep them off the board.
Thomas Gross again, he pitches the ball or gets the pitch there to Ryan McCoy, who fields it for only the one out there at first, as it was lined straight to him, fields it well, gets the one out at first base, but Jax Cash makes his way to second.
And that ball was absolutely scorched there to Ryan McCoy, doing everything he could, got his chest down to it, kept it in front of him, prevented it from carrying down the right field line into the corner, and that's exactly what you want there. Jed Jerko, Thomas Gross, everybody with the Black Bears will gladly take that out.
Of course, as Logan Flood makes his way now to the batter's box. One out here so far. Jax Cash making his way to second base. As Thomas Gross gets the sign, looks back at Cash to make sure he's not running. The first pitch is a called strike there on the off-speed pitch.
It's the slider from Gross once again. We saw him utilize it a lot in the at-bat against Hogan McIntosh, and that's exactly what you want to see if you're pitching coach JT Thomas, and Gross utilizing all of his pitches.
Of course, Gross again with the second pitch. It's a swinging strike there by Logan Flood, who never had a chance to catch up to that. 0-2 count.
Flood that time sitting off speed, recognizing that Gross gave him an off speed pitch first in the at bat, and Flood just, as you mentioned, Manny, couldn't catch up to the fastball.
Again, good rebound after giving up that first errant throw to Jack Cash to lead off the inning. Gets the third pitch here. It's a very off speed pitch there, trying to catch that outside corner. Logan Flood was not going to be fooled by that. Good take there, 1-2.
Looked to be a little bit of a chase pitch attempt there from Thomas Gross. Threw the curveball down and away. Tried to get Flood to flail at it, but Crosscutter's left fielder smarter than that at the plate.
Again, gets another pitch there. Grounded back to the second baseman. And again, pulls McCoy off the bag, but does manage to get Flood out on that. Again, another errant throw there by Pinales there, dragging McCoy off the bag, but Cash is able to make his way to third with two outs now on the inning.
And that's great footwork there from Ryan McCoy, recognizing that the throw was taking him towards the Black Bears dugout on the first base side, able to just tiptoe the bag, get a foot on it, and Ron Whiting making the proper call at first base.
Isaac Nunez making his way here to the box again. First pitch, called a strike there, getting the outside part of the strike zone there is Thomas Gross again. Another first pitch strike.
It's that same slider that he's been liking here early for the Black Bears, and it's working for him.
And Cash takes his lead off for third. The pitch from Gross is swung on but fouled back. Gets the netting back here. 0-2 count with two outs. Huge pitch here to retire the side and get the Black Bears back with a scoreless inning.
Especially with the potential first run 90 feet away, you're going to want to try and keep him off if you can. And for Gross being able to retire the batter here.
Gets
perfect.
The ground ball to Anglin, who bobbles it on the field. No chance there to throw it to Ryan McCoy. Cash scores easily on the bobble from Anglin. Again, another error gives the Crosscutters the 1-0 lead early here in the second.
And you could just see the frustration there from Gehrig Anglin, recognizing right away it was an easy chopper right at him on the third base side of the field, and just took his eyes off the ball for a split second and was anticipating the throw over to first. That's a play he makes 999 times out of 1,000, and right there the one time he didn't.
Got a feel there for Anglin. It could have retired the slide, but again, gives the Crosscutters the 1-0 lead as Gross pitches the first pitch here. An off-speed pitch gets Cole Evans to hack at that one. No chance of making contact. 0-1 with two outs.
I'm liking what I'm seeing here from Gross in terms of his pitch sequencing. Starting off-speed early in the count, and then once he gets them sitting back a little bit, then ramps it up to the fastball.
Again, we'll see if he goes back to that. Gets another pitch here. Again, another off-speed pitch. Cole Evans, no chance of getting any sort of contact with that. Another 0-2 count here, and it's not really been Gross as much as the feeling that's let him continue on in the second inning.
A little bit of a score update here. The first runner that the Crosscutters got ruled a single for Jax Cash.
As Gross gets here, the payoff pitch again, grounded to Gehrig Anglin, goes to first again. Ryan McCoy makes the easy play there, finally retires the side, not before the Crosscutters get the first run on the board. 1-0 Crosscutters as the Black Bears come to bat.
All right, fans, tonight we have a All right, these here not that great, but instead of the top, it's on the rainbow. We have three guys coming out.
making her way back here for the bottom half of the second inning. Well, you got to see there some pepperoni roll taste testing there, only making at least me feeling that much more hungry up here. But Blaze Brothers again leading off the bottom half of the second inning, looking to get the Blackbirds on the hit column there to match the Crosscutters. As Roberts deals the first pitch to Brothers, smacked back up the middle to center field. No chance there for Evans. Strong first hit there for the Black Bears.
And that's exactly what you want if you're Blaze Brothers. Get your team in a position to get that run back that you just conceded in the top half of the inning. Blaze Brothers getting on for the guys behind him, and that's the bat that Jed Jerko wants to keep in the lineup, and in part we're seeing Blaze Brothers play in left field as a result of it.
Of course, and now we get to see the scorching hot Hunter May making his way up to the box as Robert steals him to the first pitch. Fouled, tipped foul to the backside here, to the netting here in front of the first row here. 0-1 count to Hunter May.
May looked like he was swinging for the fences right there, just got underneath the pitch a little bit and sent it to the backstop.
Pitch, or second pitch there on the outside part of the plate, trying to catch that low outside corner. Hunter May isn't budging on that. 1-1 here. Again, Roberts gets the sign there. Throws it back quick to Brothers, keeping him honest over there. Nothing doing, though. Again, Hunter May out of Slidell, Los Angeles. May had success on the weekend, looking to continue that here. As Brothers takes off for second, the pitch is in, and it's way too late there as Brothers slides in, comfortably steals second base. Runner in scoring position now for the Black Bears.
And that's a great execution right there from Blaze Brothers. Get a great jump off of first base. Take long strides heading towards the bag. Head first slide. The throw a little bit high, resulting in a jump from Josue Urdaneta. But Brothers able to get in safely.
Again, we saw a lot of stolen bases against Fredericks on the weekend. Continuing that here as Roberts deals in. High inside on Hunter May. Making that a 3-1 count. Yep. To Hunter May here, being very cautious with him as obviously they've known how successful he was this past weekend.
Absolutely. Hunter May catching everybody's eye here in the MLB Draft League. Right about now, you'd love to see Hunter May squeak one through the right side of the infield with Darian Williams holding Brothers on at second.
The pitch is in here again, foul tipped to the backstop here, running that count full now, 3-2. Blaze Brothers again stole second base, finds himself there. Full count here for Hunter May.
May just continuing to fight at the plate here for West Virginia, recognizing that he's got the runner in scoring position and looking to do everything in his power to keep the production at the plate going for the Black Bears.
Roberts deals in an off-speed pitch there. It does not get Hunter May. My mistake. It looked to catch the inside part of the play. Hunter May confidently making his way to first. Runners on first and second early here in on the bottom of the second for the Black Bears.
Well, it was a great frame job there from Jax Cash, trying to hold it as long as he could at the top of the zone. But fortunately for Hunter May, he was not rung up by Vish Gotham, our home plate umpire, and it gets 2-1 with nobody out for Garrick Anglin.
Again, Garrick Anglin comes on with no outs. Again, foul tipped here to the right side here at our level, but again, towards the right side. 0-1 for the third baseman. Garrick Anglin, who did not play yesterday, gets himself inserted back here into the lineup here as Roberts steps off the bag for a second, just making sure, keeping an eye on Blaze Brothers back there, making sure he does not steal third and puts him in real trouble.
Given how deep the Crosscutters outfield is, any ball driven into the outfield that can get down is going to score Blaze Brothers.
Oh, smack! That ball smacked by Garrick Anglin to left field, but does not have enough give on that to make its way past Flood as he records the first out, keeping the runners where they are.
Sounded good off the bat there for Garrick Anglin, but just hit more of a line drive and right at the left fielder, Logan Flood, able to just take a few steps to his right and bring that one in for out number one.
Making a lot more contact with the ball now, the Black Bears, as they, as the bats have seemingly come alive now, as Caden Tranquil makes his way up to the box, one out, runners on first and second, Brothers again stole to get himself onto second, and again, Roberts just steps off the bag, making sure Blaze Brothers doesn't get too antsy over there and tries to steal third base on them.
Roberts is just trying to make sure Brothers isn't taking a little bit of a nap on the bases, but Brothers able to recognize it and get back in.
Again, the pitch comes in, and it's lined out, or lined foul, excuse me, to this left side onto the street. It's seen behind us, had a lot of power on it, was just not on time enough to get it into the field of play.
A little bit of a late swing there from Tranquil. Again, the fastball from Roberts continuing to cause fits for Black Bears hitters, and they're not seeing it until the last minute.
Again, the pitch here is off speed. Gets right between the second and third baseman. Blaze Brothers will score on this to throw into home. Cash not in time. It's an RBI single for Caden Tranquil. The game is now 1-1.
And that's exactly what you want right there if you're Caden Tranquil. Hit that one through the left side of the infield as Brothers was off in terms of motion towards third. So Nunez, the third baseman, had to make his way towards the bag. Left is shortstop Josue Urdaneta in a tough position, unable to get to it there. Ties the ball game up at one. And now we have a mound visit from Crustcutters pitching coach Jeff De La Concha.
And again, like we mentioned it in the pregame show and just in the pregame show leading up to this, there's a lot of success, obviously, from the Black Bears on the weekend, and it seems that that trend has continued on so far. We've seen the stolen base again, like they had a bunch of on the weekend, and again, just making contact on the ball. Some of it does seem to be coming late, but contact nonetheless.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what you want, as you mentioned, if you're the Black Bears. We see the runner's going to continue to be aggressive on the bases. Third base coach Jimmy Galuski going to continue to send runners on any ball to the outfield that he deems is appropriate to send the runner home, and that was a perfect situation there to bring home Brothers, and Black Bears are still in business with runners at first and second and just one out.
Of course, and Mauricio Milan makes his way up to the plate now. Also did not play yesterday, but inserted back here as the first pitch from Roberts is high, way too high for a strike. Almost got away there from Cash. 1-0 count with only one out still.
Roberts potentially trying to back Milan off the plate there with the fastball up and in, but Milan recognizing that as he works behind the plate, and so Milan's going to get right back up in there on the inner half of the zone.
Roberts gets a quick look to second, and the pitch is in there on the outside part of the plate. Good frame job there by Casher behind the plate to get that call to strike. 1-1.
Now we're seeing Roberts start to pick it up in terms of velocity. That fastball hit the outer black at 94. Tops out right around 95, so Roberts trying to reach back for a little bit more.
Gets the second pitch in here, and it is high again for 2-1, just a little bit less high than the first pitch there. Mauricio Milan again, not attempting to swing at that, being very patient up so far on this at bat, 2-1.
Just as I say, Roberts tops out around 95. He reaches back for a little bit more and hits the gun at 96. So Aaron Roberts continuing to light the lamp in terms of velocity, and the scouts are going to be making note of that for sure.
Again, 2-1 count here, and Roberts checks back to second base, gets that slow chopper here, and it is just foul. It seemed like it was going to have enough to stay fair, but just rolls foul here on near the left side part of the base path between third and home, bringing the count to 2-2.
We saw Roberts and Cash immediately surrounding that, hoping that it would bounce foul. Thought for a split second off the bat of Milan there, it was going to bounce and then just ride the line, but ultimately took a bad hop off of the turf for the Black Bears and proceeded a little bit more over that chalk.
Hunter May finds himself at second, and it seemed like he was gunning for third there. Not a slow player by any means, but as Robert gets the pitch in there on the outside part of the plate, another fastball gets Milan on the swinging strikeout. Much needed second out there for the Crosscutters.
And that's exactly what you want there if you're Aaron Roberts. You're throwing the fastball high and away, making Milan try to get contact. And Milan, unfortunately, unable to come up with anything. And Pinales will stand in as the last chance here for West Virginia.
Again, had a lot of success yesterday, did Pinales, as he was, he did homer in that as the first pitch comes in from Roberts. Inside part of the plate, not enough, doesn't catch enough of it. 1-0 count with two outs here.
Roberts went to the backdoor breaking ball there, tried to throw the curveball at knee height, but it just ran in a little bit too much towards Pinales and able to hold up the swing.
Again, Robert Steels gets the pitch in there, and it's another swinging strike. It seemed like that fastball reared its ugly head again. One and two now with two outs. Much needed to get out of this jam. Again, it's one and two yet. Robert Steels again, and the pitch is up high, way too high to be called a strike there. 2-1, excuse me now. I thought it was a called strike before. 2-1 now with two outs. Hunter May at second with Caden Tringle at first. Robert Steele's the payoff pitch here again. It's way too high, running the count to 3-1. In danger of loading the bases here and getting Sam Crill his second opportunity of this game.
That's exactly what you want if you're Xavier Pinales, recognizing that you have the advantage right now in this at-bat. Up 3-1 in the count. Make Roberts throw you a strike, and if you, it's one you like, put it in play.
The pitch comes in from Roberts. It's another fast one to get Xavier Pinales to. He does make contact with the ball. I thought it was for sure another strikeout, but he does barely get a nip on that. Count runs full. 3-2-2. The runners will be gone on this pitch. Again, Roberts gets the sign from Cash. Gives a check to the runners. The deal, the payoff pitch again is foul tipped. Gets the netting here behind home plate. Both runners take off, of course. Still 3-2.
And now if you're Pinales, not only do you got to protect on two strikes, you also got to try and make sure you're putting one in play. You mentioned, Manny, the runner's going to be in motion. We saw it once already, just trying to line one into a gap, and if you can, it has the potential to score a pair.
See if he goes back to that favored fastball, gets the pitch in here, off speed and goes way too high again. We've seen that a bunch of times so far. Xavier Pinales earns himself a walk and loads the bases for the Black Bears.
And that's exactly what you want there. If you're Xavier Pinales, recognizing that the pitch was high and away, not putting yourself in any sort of danger in terms of not even giving the umpires an opportunity to ring you up on the full count, turn the lineup over with the bases juiced and get the opportunity to get the lead for Thomas Gross.
Of course, and now Sam Crail makes his second appearance here in just the second inning. A good work by the West Virginia bats to get him his second opportunity here. Bases loaded. Robert Steele's the first pitch is way too low outside. A little hesitant there by Vish Gotham, and but still nonetheless goes 1-0, two outs. Sam Crail did strike out in his first plate appearance, looking to do something here. First pitch again is way too low on the inside part of the plate, 2-0 with two outs. Sam Crail showing great discipline and not to chase.
Absolutely right. Sam Crail recognizing that the pitch was going to run down and in despite it being the fastball. Crail laying off of it and continuing to give himself the advantage in this at-bat.
Got to throw a strike here. Roberts deals in and smacked into the outfield by Sam. Gets the gap. It'll definitely score two runs. Hunter May comes across. Caden Tranquil does as well. Sam Crail cruises into second base. It's an RBI or two RBI double for the right fielder. The Black Bears are up now. 4-1, excuse me.
And that is perfect hitting right there from Sam Crail. Take it the opposite way, find the gap as May scores easily from second. Tranquil comes around and Pinales is going to find the plate as well as it clears the bases. Sam Crail doing what he does best and it puts the Black Bears on top with a four spot and still plenty of life to go here in the bottom of the second.
Absolutely. Again, clears the bases like we mentioned there as a discussion is going on at on the mound. Goffa making sure that it doesn't run too long. Again, the bats are still alive and well for the Black Bears. That's a 3 RBI, excuse me. Correcting myself on the last call. It's a 3 RBI double for Sam Krill as Antonacci, another dangerous hitter, makes his second appearance in just 2 innings.
And there's still nobody warming up down in the Crosscutters bullpen, so this is Aaron Roberts' game for the time being as he's got to try and labor here for Williamsport.
Finally gets a call there on the outside part of the plate there. 0-1, a much-needed 0-1, two outs with Sam Krill on second. Again, Robert steals, and it actually nails Antonacci. I wasn't able to see where it caught him. It might have caught him on the elbow or the left. He's limping. It seems he got him on the leg there. Not sure where exactly, but gets him a free pass there to first.
Antonacci absolutely just ate that pitch out of the hand there of Aaron Robert. As we see here on the replay, pitch just getting Antonacci right on the right knee. And for Antonacci, there's no padding there. So when you take that one on the knee, you're certainly going to feel it. And Antonacci is going to be waking up tomorrow with a nice baseball-sized bruise on his knee.
Absolutely. And Ryan McCoy makes his way up to the plate here. First pitch is a called strike there at the knees to Ryan McCoy. Grounded out in his first plate appearance, but has a good chance here with runners on first and second. Again, like we mentioned, Sam Krill on second off after that 3 RBI double. The pitch here to Ryan McCoy, 0-1, is a inside fastball. It seemed very close. Oh, it did. It actually did nip him there. Thank you to Judah pointing that out for me. This does nip the right elbow of Ryan McCoy. Second consecutive hit by pitch as it loads the bases again for the Black Bears.
And that's exactly what you want if you're McCoy. Crowding the inner edge of the plate. Took that one slightly off the elbow guard. Was a little bit tough to see with the eye. But home plate umpire Vish Gotham able to hear it catch the elbow guard. And McCoy's presence at the plate strikes again. And now the base is loaded here for Blaze Brothers.
Blaze Brothers making his second appearance just in this second inning. Does not or isn't able to hold up on that, gets called a strike. 0-1, Blaze Brothers, like we mentioned before, singled in just this inning and gets a second chance again to face Roberts.
Brothers, the 10th Black Bear to come to the plate in this inning, something that Jed Jerko certainly going to be proud of with his hitters.
Off-speed pitch outside, way too far outside as Roberts loses his hat there. It seems like we do have some action going out there in the Crosscutters bullpen. I'm not able to make the number out, but it seems like this could be the last inning of work for Roberts, who has dragged this inning out for 10 batters, like I mentioned before. Brothers takes the pitch, and it's way too low again. 2-1 count here to the dangerous Blaze Brothers. 2-1 count, two outs still. Bases loaded for the Black Bears, who have a 4-1 lead.
This is a situation where the Black Bears are going to want to capitalize on this. Chase Roberts out of this inning with guys still on base.
Again, the third time that Aaron Roberts has come close to hitting the third consecutive Black Bears batter, getting a lot of oohs and a lot of groans there from the home crowd there, as we don't want to see that, but close nonetheless. Runs the count to 3-1, two outs. Roberts really needs a strike here to get himself out of this problem. Again, deals, the pitch comes inside, and Blaze Brothers smacks that to left field, and it is just carries foul. Great contact by Brothers. Would have been a killer for the Crosscutters, but luckily for them, it is pulled foul.
If Blaze Brothers sat back on that pitch for just an extra second, that ball is onto Jerko Drive between left and left center, and the Black Bears would be up by 7 runs right now. But instead, a little bit out in front of it in the count full.
Again, all the runners going. The pitch in by Roberts is a single right through the third in the shortstop, scores one runner, and the second runner comes in as the third runner stays at third. It's an RBI single for Brothers. Again, his second hit of the contest and extends the Black Bears lead to 6-1.
And that's great heads up base running there for Sam Antonacci, recognizing that the ball was hit in his direction, having to jump out of the way of it, able to get the feet back down, come around third, tack on the other run, and then great running there for Ryan McCoy, able to work around Isaac Nunez and able to get into the bag over there at third base.
Absolutely, and the pitch runs inside again on Hunter May. It seems like Roberts has completely lost the control of his pitches. A lot, again, frustration playing into that as he throws the ball to his first baseman, keeping an eye on Blaze Brothers over there. But 6-1 down, obviously frustration is starting to kick in.
Absolutely. Aaron Roberts, you can just tell he's not hitting his spots, giving up hit after hit, and he just cannot find the zone.
Of course. And just on cue, like you said there, Drew, another pitch off speed going outside, way too far outside, 2-0 with two outs. It seems we've been on two outs for a while now, but Roberts is struggling out there as the pitch comes in by him. Way too high for that. 3-0 count, two outs, runners on the corners. 6-1 lead here for the Black Bears.
We see manager Jesse Litch on the cross-cutter steps of the dugout. You have to believe this might be the last batter.
Again, the pitch inside there. Hunter May taking all the way, just catches the strike zone there. 3-1, runners on the corners there. And again, like Brothers before him, May making his second appearance in this inning, just in this inning, as he walked last time. Could do that again here. Roberts looking to avoid that. The pitch is in. Low inside cash. Does not have enough time as Blaze Brothers steals yet another base. And it loads the bases regardless, as we are seeing a call to the bullpen. We will see a pitching change here just in the second inning. Complete meltdown here for Roberts, as we will get that pitching change here for you in a second as soon as we identify a number.
It's Creed Watkins coming in out of the bullpen for Williamsport, relieving Aaron Roberts, who, very frustrated, handing the ball over to his manager, Jesse Litch. And Creed Watkins will stand in, 6'5", 220 pounds, out of Duncan, Oklahoma, and a product of Oklahoma University, another Big 12 guy who has pitched at Mon County Ballpark a time or two as a member of the Sooners, and now getting to do so here for the Crosscutters. And when Aaron Roberts was working in the count there against Hunter May, the first pitch that May took for a strike, rather the second, it was a little bit of a close call, and Vish Gotham gave it to Aaron Roberts as a strike. And during the delay, we saw manager Jesse Litch make his way out of the dugout. He took about two steps towards the mound and then recognized that the pitch was called a strike and had to make his way back into the dugout. And then the very next pitch, Roberts missed the zone and ultimately gave up the free pass there to Hunter May, and the Crosscutters manager was very quickly out of his bullpen.
And like we mentioned, that would do it for Aaron Roberts, who pitched just an inning and two thirds. Gave up four hits, six runs, six earned runs, two walks, and only managed two strikeouts. Again, it's the momentum thing that we mentioned for the Black Bears. Again, coming off of that success they had on the weekend, it was only right to carry that on here for the home faithful that managed to come out to the ballpark today. A lot more success here at home for all of them, especially Blaze Brothers, who had been struggling in the last series at home. Definitely not the case here. 6-1 lead for the Black Bears early on, and again, good vibes here at the stadium, as everybody loves to see that here who came out today.
And I tell you what, Manny, you know, as part of West Virginia Day, post-game show fireworks, but, I mean, the Black Bears crowd in here in attendance is seeing a little bit of a fireworks show of their own in the second inning, as it's been firework after firework coming off the bats of Black Bears working against Aaron Roberts. And now Creed Watkins, is having to come in and try to get this Crosscutters team out of a jam.
Of course, and like we mentioned there, Creed Watkins obviously making his way out there. Faces Garrett Anglin, who did fly out, but it was a loud fly out to left field for Flood. Watkins looking to get the Crosscutters out of this troubled second inning, being down 5 runs here, 6-1. Runners on first and second. Watkins deals his first pitch, and it is smacked to right field. Shively has no chance, and it will score. Blaze Brothers blazing down the third baseline, an RBI single for Garrett Anglin, runs the lead to 8-1, actually.
Garrett Anglin there with the bases loaded of Black Bears, finding the gap into right center field, tacks on two more. And, you know, they always say when it rains, it pours. And while Mother Nature's being kind to us, it's pouring right now here at the Mon in terms of runs.
Absolutely. And it does score two. Hunter May, Blazers and Hunter May managed their way to cross the plate there. 8-1. Absolute piling all of the runs here as Creed Watkins gets a called strike there in on the hands to Caden Tranquil.
Despite McCoy and Brothers scoring there, those runs are still charged to Roberts, and he is still responsible for May down at second base. So the book isn't even completely closed on the Crosscutter starting pitcher right now.
And it is, the count is 0-1 here, obviously, as the pitch goes low and does manage to get the outside part of the play much needed for Creed Watkins. 0-2 with two outs yet still. The Black Bears lead 8-1 after an onslaught of runs here by them to make it 8-1. 0-2 count here. Watkins deals, and it is fired inside, too far inside to be called a strike. 1-2 with two outs, runners on first and second.
Right now, Caden Tranquil, mentioned coming to the plate for the second time in this inning, represents the 13th Black Bear to come to the plate in this inning.
Again, and he singled and managed to cross home plate there and lines one to first base, too far right for McIntosh to make a play, goes foul. And like you mentioned there, Drew, second time in this inning coming up, was able to single and score in his last time out. One of the 8 runs posted here by the Black Bears. Makes contact on that, but goes foul.
And the Black Bears, they have had the offense come to life in this inning after Roberts slammed the door on them in the top half of the first. 5 hits to their name. You mentioned the 8 runs, and they're not done by any means.
And Tranquil dribbles that one to second base. Williams makes a play on it, gets him at first. McIntosh is able to corral that. And finally, after 8 runs in that, the Black Bears are finally retired, and the Crosscutters come up for their third time. As we are back here at Monongahela County Ballpark, Cott Pepper Hank managing to tie the standings there, 3-1 now. And again, after it seemed like an eternity, the Crosscutters finally make their way back to the offensive side of the ball. It'll be Eddie Niemann leading off for them there. But a great inning there, to say the less, for the Black Bears.
And that's exactly what you want if you're the Black Bears. Mentioned in the pregame show, scoring runs early and often. In 8 runs in an inning, yeah, that'll do the trick.
Absolutely, as Eddie Niemann manages to foul that one off just off the tip of the bat. 0-1 there. To start off for Thomas Gross.
There was some activity last inning out in the Black Bears bullpen. Didn't know if Gross was going to get this one, but Jerko turns to him.
And Niemann grounds it once to Garrett Gellin. Great scoop there. Gets it in time to Ryan McCoy. Great fielding there from Anglin to McCoy to get the first out. Eddie Niemann is grounded out on that for the first out.
And that's exactly what you want there. Another easy out there for Gross to record. Garrick Anglin has been sharp after the error that he committed, responded right away when Evans grounded out, and then picks up right where he left off with a smooth play over there at the hot corner.
And Josue Urdaneta makes his way up to the box for the second time, grounded out in that first inning. It made sure to stay loose there after a long second inning. The pitch there by Gross is breaking on the lower part of the box, runs the count now, to 2 and out with one out. Thomas Gross again deals, and it's on the lower part of the strike zone. 3-0 here for Urdaneta, who's looking to get on base here.
It's just the second time this game Gross has worked himself into a 3-ball count. The last one against Urdaneta himself, and it resulted in a ground out.
That one is taken there for a strike. Urdaneta taken all the way. Seems to be saying something back there to Vish Gotham. Was not happy with that, it seemed, with that call. 3-1 now. One out as Gross deals in here. The pitch is, again, on the outside part of the plate. No doubt there. Urdaneta earns himself a walk here to start off the third inning.
And Urdaneta showing his patience there at the plate, recognizing that the pitch from Gross was going to go out and away, as Urdaneta gets the upper hand in terms of the battle between himself and Gross and gets a runner on for Edarian Williams.
Like you mentioned there, Edarian Williams, a Las Vegas, Nevada native, again, flew out in his first appearance in the first. Will face Gross. Urdaneta. Gross looks back to Urdaneta at first. Gets the sign. Deals. And it is a called strike on that swinging attempt there by Edarian Williams. Good off-speed pitch there, making it 0-1.
Gross hitting his spot down and in, getting the flailing swing there from Edarian Williams to get back ahead in the count.
Again, another breaking pitch on the outside part of the out of the strike zone. Edarian Williams seems rather lost there. Has he again another ugly swing there, making it 0-2 with one out. Good control there on the breaking pitches, it seems, early on by Gross. Again, Gross deals in, and it's on the outside part of the plate. Just misses that lower right, or lower right from our vantage point on that play again. 1-2, Gross seems to be dealing right now. 1-2, Gross gets the sign again, looks to Urdaneta again. Tries that on the outside part of the corner and gets it this time. Vish Gotham gives the emphatic strikeout call to Darian Williams' displeasure. Just nips the lower part of the plate. Great call there. Another strikeout for Gross.
Perfect location there out of the hand of Gross. Perfect frame job from Mauricio Milan to help out his pitcher, making Vish Gotham's job behind the plate a piece of cake, and an important second out here for Gross and the Black Bears in the top of the third.
The first baseman, Hogan McIntosh, making his way out there. The thrower is fired there by Mauricio Milan to first base, trying to tag Urdaneta there, trying to catch him sleeping there. Urdaneta back in time, but just keeping him honest over there, 1-0 to McIntosh, trying to avoid his second strikeout of the game. Gross checks the first, deals the second pitch, and it is a high pop-up near the side, near first base. McCoy easily makes that play near his dugout. 1-2-3 outs, three quick outs for the Black Bears as, again, Gross makes quick work in this third inning as the Black Bears come to bat next. Back here at Monongahela County Ballpark, we again get another look there at the pepperoni roll tasting contest. We will get a conclusion on that in a second, but again, how do you follow up that inning, eight runs in the second inning, as Mauricio Milan tries to follow that up, but coming off of great success there. Pitch is high and too hot to handle there for Jack's Cash behind the plate, 1-0.
Certainly going to be tough for the Black Bears to follow up that eight spot that they put up last inning. You certainly would take maybe a run or two here to kind of put the icing on the cake in terms of the early third of this game and try to continue to follow up what you did last inning.
Of course, and Mauricio Milan didn't have to wait that long as he fouls one here and it smacks one of the boxes here to our right. Again, like I mentioned, he does not have to wait that long as he was just up in the last inning. Did record a strikeout, but is still feeling fresh after just being up here. The count is 1-1 on the catcher. Cree Watkins deals, and it's breaking too far outside for Gotham's liking. Runs the count to 2-1. Again, Milan recorded a strike in the last inning. Has a free will count of 2-1 as Creed Watkins deals to wind up the pitch and almost gets Milan to swing on that, a breaking ball on the outside part of the plate. Runs the count to 3-1 here.
Mauricio Milan able to hold up just in time. Bat awfully close to home plate, and there's a big difference between 3-1 and 2-2 in the count.
Absolutely, as, again, Watkins gets the sign, deals here, and it is a strike, an emphatic strike on that fastball. Runs the count full 3-2. Milan had no chance of making contact on that one.
Again, Milan just late to it. We saw that last time with Black Bears catcher where he was just late to it, couldn't get the bat head out in front.
The payoff pitch here is way too far out. Oh, it is not. It is not. Milan, excuse me, seemed to be making his way to first base, but is taking a detour instead to the dugout where Vish Gotham is informing him that it was a strike.
See it here on the replay. Great frame from Jack's Cash to get it to catch the outer corner. Creed Watkins had it dotted up pretty nicely, but Cash able to help out his teammate on the hill and retire the leadoff batter.
Great pitch there by Watkins. Much needed start to this third inning as Xavier Pinales is now in there and takes a ball 1-0 with one out. Making his second plate appearance is Xavier Pinales. Managed to walk in the last inning, looking to do the same here. Watkins takes the sign, deals, and it is high and inside. And again, it would seem to be inside, but great framework by Jax Cash to bring that back, and it is a called strike instead of a ball. 1-1 here, Watkins against deals. That one way too low to be called a strike. 2-1.
Pinales just trying to work the count here, see everything that Creed Watkins has to offer. And that's exactly what you want out of your nine hitter, somebody that you can try to get on base before the lineup turns over.
Again, Watkins gets the sign, deals here, and it is smacked right back up the middle by Pinales, getting on base for the second time, a walk, and now a single. One out here, but Pinales makes his way to first base.
Great execution there from Pinales. Waited for the pitch he liked, saw one over the heart of the plate, and smacked it back up the middle to get himself on for Sam Crail on the top of the Black Bears lineup.
Crail got a chance in the first inning, the second inning, and now gets his third plate appearance here in the third inning. Got that three RBI double back in the last inning. Now gets a chance to get an RBI, but of course get on base again. Watkins deals a pitch. It is outside. Pinales still goes to second, and the throw is not in time by Cash. It was bobbled a little bit there by Urdaneta. Pinales is able to steal second base, and again, another stolen base for the Black Bears.
Pinales getting a great jump off of first, sneaking the left hand in on the back corner of the bag, continued his momentum, but was able to keep the left foot over the bag and record another swiped base for the Black Bears.
Again, like you mentioned, another stolen base there. Pretty decent throw, I think, but on the opposite side of the bag, making it tough for Urdaneta. Runner on second now as Sam Crail gets the pitch in here, dribbled back to Nunez, who fires it to first base, barely gets Sam Crail there, as, again, Pinales does not move, but tough decision there. It seemed like he made it there, but called out on first base.
It was chopped to the third baseman, Nunez, looked the runner back to second in. Pinales was able to fire it over to first base and, at best, beat Sam Crail by half a step for out number two.
Very close call there, but records the second out here as, again, Antonacci makes his third plate appearance here. Two outs, runner on second. Pinales was able to steal second base. Sam Antonacci gets his first pitch, and it is bounced in there. Cash loses the ball, and it makes it easy for Pinales to run to third base. Bounced off his chest, and it just seemed to go to his right, where Cash thought it would be to his left. Another mistake there by the cross cutters, and Pinales is able to get himself in the scoring position.
We've seen some generous scoring here in the MLB Draft League, but what I would have to imagine, that one goes down as a passed ball there against Jax Cash after it just got away from him.
Again, 1-0 count here for Antonacci. Pinales at third. The pitch is in. Watkins is able to throw it into the strike zone, but fouled back here behind us over the overhang here at Monongahela County Ballpark. Antonacci managed to get on base last time by a hit by pitch. Struck out his first time, but now gets his third chance of recording a hit as Pinales attempts to throw Watkins off. The pitch is high and inside. 3-1 now. 3-1 it appears to be on the count, or 2-1, my mistake. But again, Pinales on third base, trying to throw Watkins off, making it seem like he's going to steal. 2-1 here to Antonacci. Watkins steals. The payoff pitch again is fouled onto the street here to the left of us. 2-2. Again, you don't want this lead to get even more out of hand. 8-1 is already a tough hill to climb, and now you find yourself in a good place to retire the side here if you're Watkins.
Antonacci just needs to continue fighting at the plate, see pitch by pitch, and wait for one that he likes, just like Pinales did.
Again, the pitch is just outside. Seemed like the entire cross-country team thought that was a strike. Gotham disagreed and runs the count full. Just missed there, as we see it here on the replay. The breaking ball just on the outside part of the plate. Great discipline there by Antonacci to not swing.
Give credit to Vish Gotham behind the plate, recognizing that it was a bit too far outside and not falling for Cash's tricks.
The payoff pitch here, Watkins deals, and it is smacked to left field and just into the glove of Flood. No real issue there. Three outs there, a relatively easy inning for the Crosscutters. 8-1 going into the fourth. Back here for the fourth inning, as the Crosscutters make their way up now, it will be Jax Cash, the catcher for the Crosscutters, making his way out here for the fourth. Thomas Gross through three innings, very seamless or harmless three innings, only allowing the one run on the one hit. Thomas Gross deals in again. First pitch is called a strike on the inside part of the plate.
This is exactly what you want if you're Thomas Gross, just continuing to work, continuing to record outs, minimize the damage, and bring that ERA down.
Cash dribbles that one to Pinales, who flips it to the first base. Easy out there for Thomas Gross. Another easy out, another ground out, and records the first out for the Crosscutters.
And part of why Gross has been so successful here today is he's induced the soft contact right at his guys, and even when it's not soft, it's right at his guys defensively, who are in perfect position to be able to make the play, and it has helped keep the Crosscutters off the board.
It has only been the one hit allowed here, as Alan Shibley fouls that one off here at our level. Again, Alan Shibley, another one of those ground outs that Thomas Gross has produced back in the second inning. Very good, efficient game here for Gross, as the second pitch is way too far down in the zone. 1-1-1 is the count now. Again, Gross puts the pitch into the lower part of the strike zone. 2-1 with one out here. A lot more patience being shown by Shibley in this at-bat. Gross again. The third pitch is another ground ball to the Xavier Pinales. Flips to Ryan McCoy. Another ground out. Easy ground out for the Black Bears. Two outs here for West Virginia.
And again, Xavier Pinales continuing to stay busy in this inning. Another soft grounder right at him. Able to take his time, field it cleanly, get the feet set, and sling it over to Ryan McCoy at first base. And Thomas Gross just continues to work through this Crosscutters lineup like a hot knife in butter.
Again, Logan Flood now at the plate. Another breaking ball there shown by Gross. Too far outside. 1-0. But again, just taking this game by the throat really is Thomas Gross, who was only allowed the one hit so far. The second pitch to Gross is lined to Garrett Angley. Great field there by him. Flips it to Ryan McCoy. Gets the out. 1-2-3 inning for the Black Bears. Going into the bottom of the fourth. 8-1 Black Bears lead. Again, back here at Monongalia County Ballpark, and we have a pitching change. It is number 16, Nick Palumbo, making his way here for the Cross Cutters. They're righty, 6'2", 215 pounds, out of Wayne, New Jersey. Goes to school at Francis Marion University in South Carolina. The senior looks to keep the Black Bears at bay, having success through virtually all. So all three of these innings so far. The third pitcher now to be in for the Cross Cutters, who he will face off against Ryan McCoy to lead off this fourth inning of work.
And this is exactly what you want if you're the Black Bears. Here in game one of the series, make the Cross Cutters go deep into their bullpen. Throw as many guys in this game as they absolutely have to. And then by the time Wednesday rolls around and this series finale is upon us, the Cross Cutters bullpen is going to be absolutely gassed at this rate. And then you'll really be able to take advantage and continue to pour the runs on. Of course, Nick Palumbo looking to be that bridge from the early portion of this game to the back end of the Williamsport bullpen despite trailing 8-1. But Palumbo going out there to take the ball in the fourth and keep this one right where it is.
Of course, and Creed Watkins only an inning in the third of work here tonight, making way for Nick Palumbo, like we mentioned. And Ryan McCoy gets his third chance up to bat, grounded out, and was actually hit by a pitch in his first two at bats. So going to change that here as his first pitch he faces is inside for a ball. 1-0.
McCoy, certainly known for his ability to draw walks, led the draft league last year in that category.
Second pitch is flown out of the ballpark here by Ryan McCoy. Will go down as a strike foul, but again, showing off that power.
McCoy does have some power in him. He was in the middle of the order for Wabash Valley Community College when they went to the JUCO World Series.
And the third pitch there is, or just nips the inside part of the plate. 1-2, good comeback pitch there by Palumbo to make the count 1-2. Again, the first baseman was hit by a pitch in his last at bat. Looking to get on base for the first time here. The 1-2 is lined back to first base, and it is called a single. Manages to bounce over the third base bag. Ryan McCoy is hustling to second base. Fielded by Flood, who gets it into the cutoff man. A leadoff double for McCoy. Good start here to the fourth.
And again, another Ryan McCoyle specialty. Going the opposite way, sneaking it inside the line as it hits the bag. Right call there from Mario Seneca, our third base umpire. And it's, you mentioned Mario, a leadoff, or Manny rather, leadoff double for Ryan McCoy. Got Mario Seneca's name on the brain after making that right call.
No, it's a close name to mine, Mariano. It's all good. Again, leadoff double brings Blaze Brothers to the plate. Two singles in his previous two at-bats coming in the second inning. First pitch there to him is a called strike on the outside part of the plate.
Blaze Brothers looking to keep himself going in terms of having a successful day. Already scoring twice, a pair of singles to his name.
Those singles again coming just in the one inning, in the second inning, as that second pitch is called a strike there, to the displeasure of some fans here, not agreeing with that call by Vish Gotham, 0-2 count with the runner on second base. Palumbo does get the call from Cash behind the plate. 0-2, winds up, deals, and it is popped high up in the air here over the crowd. It will go foul and does manage to not hit anybody in the crowd, thankfully. 0-2 still.
We've got a young gentleman down there in section 103. That ball came within about 5 feet of him, and I don't even think he moved an inch. He either has a vision for the game and recognized that ball wasn't going to hit him, or realized he was caught in deep water and realized that he had no chance of getting out of the way. Thankfully, he didn't make contact with him.
Absolutely, as Blaze Brothers again finds himself in an 0-2 hole. Palumbo deals, and the pitch is just high. Blaze Brothers was never going to swing at that. A stat leader for a bunch of stats for the Black Bears this season. Manages to get the count to 1-2. Again, Palumbo gets the sign here. Gives the look to McCoy at second. Winds up, deals, and again, low, too low on the outside part of the plate. 2-2 there. Great discipline and patience by Blaze Brothers here in this at-bat.
Palumbo was trying to get him to chase with the pitch down and away, but Blaze Brothers certainly smarter than that, recognizing what Palumbo was trying to do and not biting there on Palumbo's pitch.
Absolutely, and count 2-2. Palumbo is, again, favoring that outside part of the plate. Don't want to have Blaze Brothers connect on another one again, but makes the count 3-2 now, in danger of walking Blaze Brothers. Blaze Brothers, of course, out of Springdale, Arizona, goes to school at Northwestern State, gets the 3-2 hand. It smacks it between the gap of third and the shortstop. Ryan McCoy tries to round third, but it was held up there. Runners at the corners there. Almost another RBI for Blaze Brothers, but runners on the corners now with no outs.
It's a trio of singles for Blaze Brothers, as we see here, past the diving Isaac Nunez. And great recognition there from Jimmy Galuski, recognizing that the ball was fielded cleanly and quickly by Logan Flood, and that Ryan McCoy would have been gunned out at the plate. You never want to run into the first out or the last out at home, and it's heads-up base running from McCoy, being able to recognize and listen to his third base coach.
Again, Hunter May back up to the plate, smacks that one foul just over, again, over the overhang here, showing off that power. Third time up for Hunter May, managed two walks prior to this at-bat, and now could possibly earn his third and load the bases for the third time here for the Black Bears. As the count is 0-1, again, no outs, runners at the corners here. Palumbo deals high, an intentional high pitch it seemed, as Cash was quick up to check on the runners at the corners. 1-1 now.
Pitch certainly not going to get a swing from Hunter May by any means.
Again, 1-1 now. The pitch by Palumbo is just inside there. Catches the outside part of the corner. Is attacking a lot, that outside part of the corner. Gets that one in his favor. 1-2 now to the DH tonight, Hunter May. Again, trying not to allow Hunterman to connect on something, keeping everything away. One and two. The pitch by Palumbo is absolutely smacked high or in between the gaps for Evans, and Shively fields it, records the out, but a good throw there over the head, or almost over the head of Cash, fumbles it, scores McCoy, and Blaze Brothers makes his way all the way to third from first base, as that throw in by Shively was way too high for Cash, who bobbled it on the jump, and a sack fly there for Hunter May.
Little bit of a high fly ball out to right center. Heads up base running there from McCoy to tag up. Aggressive base running from Blaze Brothers advancing to second, and then the awareness to recognize that Cash had the ball get away from him and then took another 90 feet while he was at it.
Of course, and that makes the lead now 9-1 for the third baseman, Garrick Anglin, who takes the first, who does not take the first pitch inside. It is called a strike, but it was fumbled by Cash, who quickly gathers it to make sure there's no running by Blaze Brothers. Again, Anglin flew out and had a single in his two previous appearances. Takes a hack at that one. Good comeback pitch there by Palumbo to make the count 0-2, as we see the infield coming in a lot more, trying to avoid that RBI ground out to first.
Any sort of ground ball in the infield would expect the cross cutters to come home with it. Trailing by 8, looking to cut the play down at the plate.
The pitch in by Palumbo is swung on aggressively by Garrick. Chased that one high. Records the second out for the Crosscutters, keeping Blaze Brothers at third. Two outs for the Crosscutters.
It's just a great pitch there from Nick Palumbo. Going to his fastball. Reared back, got a few extra ticks on it. Garrick Anglin, of course, swinging for the fences, but was unable to come away with anything, and it's a big second out for Williamsport.
And we have Caden Tranquil coming up to the plate. Takes that one high above the strike zone, 1-0. Blaze Brothers still there, waiting to come home from third base, as Caden Tranquil looks to get another RBI on the board here. Palumbo deals, almost catches the higher part of the strike zone, 2-0.
Good take there from Tranquil, recognizing that the pitch was going to run in up towards his hands, and realized that didn't need to induce a swing.
Looking for the ninth hit for the Black Bears to the Crosscutters. One, smacks that one to left field, but Logan Flood is there, does not have to move. Of course, a third out gets him out of the jam. The Black Bears do manage to get one, making 9-1, heading into the fifth inning.
Total joint replacement is one of the most successful surgeries ever done, as long as it's done right. Think about it like the alignment on your car. If your alignment is off, your tires wear out faster. Robotic-assisted joint replacement surgery, WVU Medicine, ensures that the implants are in the exact spot they should be. If you have a joint problem in West Virginia, there's no reason to go anywhere else but WVU Medicine. For more information, visit wvumedicine.org/joint.
And here in the top of the fifth inning, we have Isaac Nunez leading off for the Cross Cutters. Second time up to bat, single was the only hit in this game for Isaac Nunez, as the first pitch is called a strike there by Thomas Grosse, who continues his efficient game through five, or starting this fifth inning.
And why not? If he's continuing to work like this, continue to send him out there.
And again, that one gets Isaac Nunez to react to that. Had to almost get out of the way as it drove in on him. Count runs to 1-1. Gross deals again, gets Isaac Nunez to aggressively swing at that. No chance for Nunez to ever make contact. 1-2 on the breaking ball pitch.
Gross just continues to work through this cross-cutters lineup. And this is, without a doubt, some of the greatest starting pitching we've seen here from the Black Bears in terms of the 2022 MLB Draft League.
The payoff pitch is outside. That pitch broke too far outside. It runs the count to 2-2. And a much-needed good start by Thomas Gross, who we did mention had that 13.5 ERA at the start of this game, who gets the payoff pitch there to Isaac Nunez, makes contact but fouls that one here again over the overhang above us, 2-2 still.
And by Gross being able to work his way into the fifth inning, of course, Jed Jerko certainly hoping that Gross can go the distance here in this inning, but also saves the Black Bears' bullpen.
Gets Nunez to react there, but was not fooling Vish Gotham. Brings him up. Another strikeout to the name of Thomas Gross. Records the first out here. As we see it here on the replay booth. Great pitch location. Nunez thought it would have been a ball, but Gotham thought otherwise. First out for the Black Bears.
It's the third strikeout that Thomas Gross has recorded in this outing. Just continuing to wheel and deal.
That one broke too far outside for the glove of Mauricio Milan. Cole Evans is now at the plate, grounded out back in the second inning. Again, good efficient game by Thomas Gross, who is really dealing now five innings into his game. Second pitch is there. It's grounded close to third base, but foul.
Be interesting to see what the pitch limit is on Thomas Gross as he enters this at bat at 55 pitches, so now working on pitch 58.
Again, Cole Evans swings at that breaking ball on the lower part of the strike zone, 1-2. Thomas Gross gets another cross cutter to swing at that breaking ball pitch, 1-2 now.
The slider once again from Gross, continuing to work for him.
That one broke, didn't break enough towards the inside part of the plate. Almost nipped Cole Evans on the shoulder there. 2-2 now with one out. Again, Thomas Gross trying to record his second strikeout of the game. Another slider there. Breaks too far outside. Runs the count full.
Pitch just got away from Gross. We saw that in the early portion of the game where a pitch just released a little bit too late as it flailed away from Mauricio Milan, and now we're seeing it again here in the fifth.
Count full, one out. The pitch again. Got a leaning Cole Evans on that one. Does manage to foul it off, but another breaking ball pitch that seemed Cole Evans was early on, but managed to get some contact on it. Again, no action really in the Black Bears pen right now. Seems to be Thomas Gross going at it as, again, another slider on the outside part of the play. Cole Evans wisely takes and takes first base as well.
And I recognize what Thomas Gross is trying to do there. He's had success with the slider all day long. It's worked for him going back to the off-speed pitch that he trusts the most, but it was just a matter of having to get it close to the plate, and unfortunately there for the Black Bears starting pitcher, it was well down and away.
One of the more unfavorable at-bats there for Gross there, as we have Eddie Niemann to the plate swinging at that one. Off the glove of Mauricio Milan, goes back, but it's a strike nonetheless. Eddie Niemann, again, DHing tonight, grounded out in his first plate appearance. Thomas throws the second pitch, and it is smacked to center field. It looks like it'll drop, but Keaton Trinkle tries to make a play on it off the glove. It looks like Cole Evans will score all the way from first as Eddie Niemann is trudging along to get that triple there. Aiden Tranquil almost made an amazing play there off his glove, so close to making that play, but Eddie Niemann gets a triple out of that second run for the Crosscutters.
And it was always going to be a tough play for Caden Tranquil to make. You saw him dive, try to leap and be the hero, but unfortunately could not gather it in, and the right fielder, Crail, was taking steps towards center field, so he had to backtrack a little bit, gather the ball in, and a little bit of chaos on the bases, but it's a one-out triple there for Niemann.
Finally, the Crosscutters are able to record their second run of this game. It took all the way to the fifth inning to do that. Eddie Niemann finds himself at third base as Josue Urdaneta comes to the plate. That one is dribbled back to Gross. Fielded to the first. Ryan McCoy gets it, but again, a sack plate appearance there as Eddie Niemann crosses home plate, making it 9-3 Black Bears.
And when you're up by seven like the Black Bears were, it's a smart decision there for Thomas Gross to just gather that ball, toss it over to first base, get the short out as Niemann was barreling towards home. You don't want to try and chance that play at the plate being called safe, and then it's still one out and the run scores.
Now, Adarian Williams comes to the plate as he takes the called strike one on his first pitch. Struck out the last time, but has a chance here to get on base and continue this success that the Crosscutters have found here. Another breaking ball. Another slider is called a ball, 1-1.
Gross now running into a little bit of trouble as he starts to wear here in the fifth.
Again, another slider. Good slider there. Gets Adarian Williams to take a swing at it. No chance of hitting it. A favorable count here to retire the side 1-2 to go into the bottom of the fifth. Gross steals that one and is smacked over the head of Antonacci. Fielded there by Brothers. A single for Adarian Williams. Gets his first hit of the ball. Gaming continues this inning for the Crosscutters.
Great piece of hitting there from Adarian Williams, just taking that one out into left field. Gross left the slider hanging over the plate, and Williams made him pay. Keeps the inning alive for Williamsport. Thought maybe we were going to get a mound visit here from Black Bears pitching coach JT Thomas, try and buy his reliever some time, who's starting to throw some long toss out in the bullpen, but Gross continuing to work here for West Virginia.
And he will face Hogan McIntosh for the third time. Popped out last time, McIntosh. Again, that first pitch to him, it is outside. Another count starting with a ball to the Williamsport hitter. Like we mentioned before, Darian Williams off that single is on first. The pitch to McIntosh is again outside, and we are starting to see a little bit of a loss of control perhaps here by Thomas Gross, who is close to getting this inning over with, but is struggling to get that final out. 2-0 count here for McIntosh, looking to keep this inning alive. Thomas Gross deals the pitch. It is just below the strike zone there. Fish Gotham was never going to budge on that. 3-0 to the first baseman.
And if you're Thomas Gross right now, you just got to focus on taking it one pitch at a time and finding the zone once again like you did all night and work your way back in this at bat.
Has to be a strike here, and it is. Hogan McIntosh taking all the way. 3-1 to the first baseman. Two outs still. And the Crosscutters have managed to cut it down to just a six-run deficit, 9-3 now in the fifth inning. As McIntosh takes a crack at it, it was breaking inside, does manage to get a nip of it. Full count now with the runner on first.
See Tucker Shally making his way back to the mound in the West Virginia bullpen as Gross looks to try and get out of the inning, go a complete five innings here for the Black Bears.
Count full. Adarian Williams on first. Looking to retire the side is Gross, and the pitch is just misses the upper right-hand part of the plate. McIntosh earns himself a walk. Williams was stealing, but had was going to take second base regardless. Runners on first and second.
And now JT Thomas makes his way out of the dugout, buying Shally some time now that he's worked back to the mound. Just trying to settle Gross down a little bit. He's gotten a little erratic here in the later portions of this top half of the fifth inning. You know, just continuing to deliver the message. You know, go out there, throw strikes, trust your stuff, get the job done. You just need one more out to go. Find a way to keep the confidence up and get you out of this one.
Of course, and it just seems like the cross cutters have figured out his pitch variability and just aren't really chasing the slider that much anymore as the catcher Jax Cash comes to play for the third time. He is one of the three runs in this game, grounded out his last time though, but has a great opportunity here to do some more damage to the Black Bears. As Gross takes the sign from Milan, looks back to second base, makes sure no one's running. Deals the first pitch, and it is grounded to Antonacci. Fields it cleanly, flips it to McCoy, gets the much-needed third out, and retires the side. The cross-cutters do manage to get two runs across, but still trail 9-3 heading into the bottom of the fifth. Bottom half here of the fifth inning in this game. Black Bears lead 9-3 as the catcher Mauricio Milan makes his way to the batter's box. 0-2 so far, two strikeouts. Really one of the rougher games for him. But nonetheless, it's 9-3. You'll take it all day here at the bottom of the fifth, and it's a still seems to be Nick Palumbo out there who has earned himself another inning.
Well, we have a little break in the action here. A shout out to Bly Madris getting his call up to the big leagues, getting his first hit in RBI, a former Black Bear when the Black Bears were an affiliate with the Pirates.
Absolutely, as the first pitch is called a ball on that breaking pitch on the outside part of the plate. Again, Palumbo takes the call, and the pitch is fouled off by Milan. 1-1 count now.
Milan just needs to continue to fight here at the plate in a little bit of a rut, but seeing the ball well.
And he smacks that one to the outfield in between the guys to Flood and Evans. It seems like Flood will call Evans off and it'll make the easy fly out for the first out here for the Crosscutters.
And that's a solid at-bat right there from Mauricio Milan. Not necessarily the result you wanted, but making solid contact with that fly ball out the left center field And if Milan can continue to put together at-bats like that, it's only going to be a matter of time before he figures it out, takes that final step, and starts to get those balls to drop.
And now it is, Mauricio Milan, Xavier Pinales, who makes his way into the box, fouls that one off, hits the netting behind him, 0-1 now to the Milwaukee, Wisconsin native. Has a walk and a single so far in this game. 0-1 to Pinales from Palomo is a fouled, and it is fouled off right to the press box near us, right next to us. Got to stay on our toes up here. Don't want one of those coming into the booth.
Man, these foul balls are getting closer and closer.
0-2 now to Pinales. Again, fouled off. Hits another press box two boxes over.
Had the ball ricochet off the floor of section 103, bounce up and hit a fan. Hope it appears to be okay. And then a young Black Bears fan takes home a souvenir.
Absolutely. And again, 0-2 to Pinales is swung on and missed by the second baseman. A strikeout here and makes it two outs for the Crosscutters here.
Great pitch there for Palumbo. Getting Pinales out in front, throwing the changeup with the off-speed there, and quick second out there for the Crosscutters.
The right fielder, Sam Crail, comes up for his fourth plate appearance. The lefty out of Sheridan, Indiana, takes the first pitch strike on the inside part of the plate. Two outs here, two quick outs here for Williamsport, trying to get out of this one. Sam Crow, as we mentioned, doubled, struck out, and grounded out in so far in his plate appearances. Takes the second pitch from Palumbo, fouled to the netting here behind home plate. 0-2, two outs.
And Crail just continuing to fight here at the plate, recognizing that he's the last chance for the Black Bears in this inning and looking to get something going to keep his guys up to the dish.
The 0-2 about to be taken by Nick Palumbo. Here to Sam Crail. The pitch is in there, and it is a called strike three to the right fielder. Goes down on strikes. Three quick outs for the Crosscutters going into the sixth inning of work. making our way back here to the start of the sixth inning. It is, we have a pitching change, and it is now Tucker Shelley, the righty 6'5", out 6'5" pitcher out of Grafton, Illinois, goes to college at Parkland College and has relieved Thomas Gross, who had a very solid 5 innings of work, but is now Tucker Shelley's chance to take over in this game so far. As the first pitch is fouled off over the overhang here above us.
Shibley a little bit late to at that time, working against Shelley, of course. None of these cross cutters have seen Tucker Shelley so far in the MLB Draft League, so it's going to be a little bit of a surprise for them in the early goings of this sixth inning.
Like you mentioned there, Shively fouls yet another one off towards the grass here on the other side of the fence. 0-2 count early for Tucker Shelley. Played for the University of Illinois before switching or transferring over to Parkland. The sophomore is up 0-2 on the Alan Shively. The third pitch here is not enough to be called a strike. The fans here obviously disagree. Thought that was the third strike, but Gotham thought otherwise. 1-2. Shively grounded out twice already in his previous two player appearances. Gets the payoff pitch here by Tucker Shelley. Swung on and missed for the called first out of the game. First appearance or first batter he faces, Tucker Shelley is called on strikes. Good start here for the right-hander.
A great opportunity there for Tucker Shelley to get the strikeout first batter he faces. Settle himself into the game nicely.
Very good start to this game as Logan Flood makes his way to the batter's box. Shelley deals, and that one is again fouled off, this time to the right part of the ballpark, over the fence again towards the hill here on the right side. 0-1 with one out. Logan Flood has not recorded a hit yet in this game against Thomas Gross, went hitless, and now has a chance to get a hit against Tucker Shelley, which is grounded to Garrett Engler, fielded cleanly, fires that one to McCoy, and records the second out. Very quick two outs here for Tucker Shelley.
That's exactly what you want. You can't get the strikeout there with just being early in the count, so you induce a ground ball to Garrett Engler, your third baseman, and he takes care of the rest with the throw across the diamond, and Garrett Engler has been sharp all night after making that error in the second inning.
Absolutely, and now it is Isaac Nunez's turn for his third plate appearance. Had a single and struck out the last time. The first pitch by Tucker Shelley is on the outside part of the plate, called ball one with two outs here. The third baseman is one of the three hits so far in this game for Williamsport. The second pitch by Shelley is grounded to Xavier Pinales, grounds it cleanly, flips it to McCoy. Another quick 1-2-3 inning for the Black Bears. We're heading to the bottom of the sixth, 9-3 West Virginia.
Thank you.
making quick work of this second half of the game. It is another pitching change for the Williamsport Crosscutters. Number 19, Lex Garcia, the righty 6'3", 200-pounder from Lubbock, Texas. Attends the same college, San Jacinto College, as the opposing catcher, our catcher, Mauricio Milan. So there is a connection there. But, again, comes in the third pitcher the Williamsport Crosscutters are dealing out there. Again, Nick Palumbo managed to reduce the damage incited by, or no, excuse me, the fourth pitcher now, excuse me, for that, that the Crosscutters will deploy out here for this game. Roberts, Watkins, and Palumbo before him, but now it is Lex Garcia's turn to get some action here and prevent this lead from getting any larger.
Palumbo kept the Crosscutters in it, allowed them to tack on those two runs, going two innings of just one run ball.
First pitch into Sam Antonacci. It is a called strike on the fastball. Antonacci yet to record a hit there as the second pitch is quickly thrown in there for strike two. Like I mentioned, no hits yet for the shortstop.
Lex Garcia dealing here early against Sam Antonacci.
Wasting no time again. Goes to a breaking pitch. Does not fool Sam Antonacci. 1-2. But aggressive start out of the pen for Lex Garcia. Again, another pitch to Sam Antonacci. Fouls it over the overhang here above us. 1-2 remains the count to the shortstop.
Lex Garcia, originally a Texas Tech commit, showing off some of the junior college program's finest here in the MLB Draft League.
The pitch again there is lined to first base, but not able to be fielded by McIntosh. It's the first hit of the ball game by Sam Antonacci. Another base runner early on in the inning for the Black Bears.
Perfect location there for the baseball off the bat of Sam Antonacci, just past the outstretched Hogan McIntosh, allowing that ball to carry off the turf into right field and bring up Brian McCoy.
Another dangerous hitter in this lineup, Brian McCoy, previously doubled. And if that were to repeat, he'd get another RBI to his name on the season. Lex Garcia deals the first one, gets McCoy to swing in that aggressive swing there by the first baseman. Gets the call, the first strike. Again, Lex Garcia takes a look over the first, make sure Antonacci is not moving. 0-1. The second pitch to McCoy is again swung on, taken off of that. 0-2 count to the first baseman.
McCoy got a tip on it. You could hear a foul tip into the glove of Cash behind the plate, but just not enough to redirect it into fair territory.
In danger of recording a strikeout, McCoy gets the third pitch there off his bat and off the glove seems of Cash. Another foul tipped. 0-2 it remains. Sam Antonacci over at first.
Just over the 2-hour mark here in this contest. Working here in the bottom of the sixth.
McCoy gets the third pitch under the glove of McIntosh. Scorched under his glove. McCoy making his way to second base, and Sam Antonacci will stop at third. Another double by Ryan McCoy. Doesn't score Antonacci, but runners in scoring position. No outs for the Black Bears.
And I tell you what, that's Ryan McCoy being Ryan McCoy. That ball blistered through the right side of the infield. I mean, it didn't matter what McIntosh did over on the first base side of the field. He was not getting anything on that baseball, and that one rolled all the way to the wall as Ryan McCoy gets himself another double and picks up right where he left off with the Black Bears.
Absolutely, and possibly the most dangerous hitter tonight, Blaze Brothers, is coming up to the box with three singles to his name, a couple stolen bases. Another chance to add to that RBI tally here as the first pitch by Lex Garcia took some off of it. Breaking ball in there for strike one.
Crosscutters bring the infield in once again, recognizing the need to cut the runner down at the plate.
Sam Antonacci takes his lead from third, as does McCoy from second. The second pitch there to Blaze Brothers is foul tipped. 0-2. A familiar 0-2 to Lex Garcia, who has had the same count for the two hitters before, but has just given up a hit to either one of them. And again, runners in scoring position here. Blaze Brothers already has accounted for a run and a couple RBIs, or some RBIs. 0-2 here to him. The pitch by Lex Garcia is actually bounced in there. Cash isn't able to field it. Fields it now, and Sam Antonacci is called out there at the plate. The crowd strongly disagrees. It seems like a bang bang. Oh, he switches the call. Fish Gotham switched the call. Recognizes the error he made. It was so close. As we take a look here at the replay board, Cash threw it in there as quick as possible, and
we see here on the replay, the ball originally beat Antonacci to the bag. The tag was applied, and that was the correct call from Vish Gotham, but the pitcher in Garcia bobbled the ball as he applied the tag, which is why he then overruled his original call, made it a safe call for Antonacci to score, and now we see the three umpires getting together to make the ultimate decision, as the question becomes, did Garcia apply the tag and complete the transaction before the ball was knocked loose? And we see it again here on the replay. Garcia appeals to Vish Gotham that the ball was in his glove, but it carries away, and now confirmed call on the field that he is safe. So the Black Bears get the double digits on the scoreboard.
Absolutely, and Antonacci very aggressive there on that bolt to a home plate, but we've seen a lot of aggressive base running over the weekend and into this game now. The 10th run crosses the plate for the Black Bears. Still, Blaze Brothers is at bat here with no outs, and McCoy waiting to cross the plate as well at third.
Jimmy Galuski's always going to be aggressive over there at third base, and even when the Black Bears are up by a lot, he's not going to stop.
Blaze Brothers almost gets the strikeout call there, but it foul tipped off the top of his bat. Still remains 1-2, as we'll see Jax Cash go out to his pitcher to kind of go over the game plan here, not to augment this lead even more.
And this is just a matter of Cash talking things over to Garcia, figuring out how they're going to attack Blaze Brothers here with this 1-2 count, recognizing the danger that Brothers brings to the table and trying to prevent this one from getting even more out of hand.
Like you mentioned, Blaze Brothers, a dangerous hitter, the most dangerous so far in this game. 3-for-3, a couple stolen bases. Accounted for some of the runs here in this game so far. 1-2 count. Lex Garcia, again, tried to go to the breaking ball pitch there. Jed Jericho seemed to say something to Vish Gotham there. Kind of motioned like he was going to come out of the dugout, but stays there, and again, the count runs to 1-2 still.
The only thing that Jed Jericho could potentially be arguing is whether or not that pitch hit Brothers on the hand and thought maybe Vish Gotham heard the contact and ruled it a strike.
And the third payoff pitch there by Lex Garcia finally gets Brothers to swing on it. A strikeout, the first time he doesn't get on base in this game. The first out for Williamsport here in the sixth.
Which is great execution there from Lex Garcia to ramp up the fastball. Get a swing and a miss there from Blaze Brothers. And it's a big out for the Crosscutters in the bottom of the sixth, trailing by seven.
Absolutely. And the DH tonight, Hunter May, makes his way up to the plate. One out. Ryan McCoy at third. Lex Garcia fires one in there and gets the called strike there on the outside part of the plate to Hunter May.
A little bit of a groan from the Black Bears crowd in attendance, not liking that call from Vish Gotham, but a strike nonetheless.
That pitch in there again fired on the opposite part of the plate inside to Hunter May, 0-2 with one out here. Recorded a sack fly last time Hunter May. Could do the same here. The third pitch again is flown out to the shallow part of right field. Shively makes the play, gets the out, but another RBI crosses the plate as Ryan McCoy Crosses the plate there, making it 11-3 Black Bears.
Great heads-up base running there for Ryan McCoy to tag up, recognizing the ball, carrying over, and didn't appear that McCoy had tagged up, but the ball dropped. Or the ball didn't drop, rather. But nonetheless, McCoy must have left just in time. Comes around to score on the sack fly, and Garrick Anglin comes to the plate.
Absolutely, and it was a bit dodgy there. It seemed like Williams was charging towards it. Evans had a play, but Shively made the out as the first pitch thrown to Garrick Anglin is a fierce strike one to the third baseman. Takes the second pitch here again, swings on it on the breaking ball, too low to make any sort of contact on it. 0-2, looking to get out of this is Lex Garcia with an 0-2 count and two outs. Garrick Anglin struck out last time, in danger of doing that again. The pitch by Lex Garcia is way too far outside, way too high and outside. Taken all the way with Garrick Anglin.
Garrick Anglin certainly wasn't going to be fooled by that pitch, recognizing from the jump that it was well out of the zone.
That one is flown out to the shallow part of left field. And the play is made by Logan Flood. It seemed like Ordonetta wanted it, but Flood called him off. Three outs for the Crossers, but not before some runs crossed the plate. 11-3, Black Bears heading into the seventh. Back here for the start of the seventh inning. Another pitching change for the Black Bears. Zach Ottinger out of out of West Virginia University makes his way onto the mound here for some work. Tucker Shally just comes in for the one inning, gives up no hits and a strikeout. The switch is called to Zach Ottinger, who again came here or attends West Virginia University, the junior out of Marietta, Georgia. Looking to get in some work here with a relatively safe lead, to say the less, for the Black Bears.
Well, Manny, no lead is safe here in the MLB Draft League, despite being an 8-run advantage for the Black Bears. But Zach Ottinger getting the opportunity here to work in a low-leverage situation, just be able to go out there, focus on what he does best when he's on his game, and that's throwing strikes and recording quick outs, and so now easy mind for Ottinger should allow him to be successful.
Absolutely, and he will face Cole Evans for the cross cutters as the first pitch is thrown in there for a called first strike. There, 0-1 quickly to Zach Ottinger, who does play his ball here at West Virginia, is very familiar with this ballpark. As the second pitch to Cole Evans, he's again almost identical to the first. 0-2, quick work here for Zach Ottinger, who has a favorable count, 0-2.
when Ottinger is pitching well, is pitching very, he continues to pitch very well, and he's looking like he's on his A game right now.
The payoff pitch there is a breaking ball by Ottinger, too far outside. Cole Evans doesn't budge. 1-2 to the center fielder for the Crosscutters. Third time up to bat for Cole Evans. Walked last time. Ottinger looking to record his first strikeout of the game and does exactly that. Gets Cole Evans to swing on that breaking ball out on the outside part of the plate. First batter, first strikeout for Zach Ottinger.
Ottinger utilizes the three-pitch mix. Went off speed there for the put away. Gets the out as Evans chased it with the flailing bat. And Ottinger continues to pitch well through the first third of an inning here in the seventh.
For West Virginia this spring, had a 4.84 ERA, 2-2 record, 17 appearances out of the pen, recorded 22 strikeouts. As again, that swing and miss continues as Eddie Newman swings through that. 0-1 here with one out.
A little bit of a half-hearted swing there off of the bat of Newman, just continuing to work against Ottinger, and could tell right away something was up with that swing.
Second pitch to Newman. Breaking ball. It was not going to get Newman there to swing at that. Count runs even to 1-1.
Eddie Newman out of St. Leo University, a collegiate teammate of Sam Crail. Continue to see connections here between the Crosscutters and the Black Bears.
And the third pitch there is grounded to Antonacci. Fields it cleanly. Slings it over to McCoy. Records the second out on an easy ground out. Second out. Two quick outs for Zach Ottinger.
Well, it's not a strikeout, but Zach Ottinger surely won't care as gets that one bounced right to the shortstop, Antonacci. Antonacci fields that one as clean as a daisy and gets it over to first base. Zach Ottinger continues to work very efficiently, thrown just seven pitches through the first two-thirds of this inning.
And oddly enough for Zach Ottinger, was a member of the number 26th-ranked 2018 WVU class, as this ball is grounded to Garrick Englund, who loses it on the transfer from glove to hand. Seemed like it was going to be a third quick out for Zach Ottinger, but Garrick Englund, again, another fielding error by him, gives the Crosscutters some life here.
And again, it just looks like Garrick Englund's taking his eyes off of the baseball for a split second before he's actually fielding it into his glove, and that's one of the things that they always teach you as an infielder. See the ball into your glove, transfer it from glove to hand, and then complete the throw. And Garrick Englund is just trying to rush that process a little bit here tonight for the Black Bears.
And Williams, now up to bat, takes the first pitch as a strike. 0-1 the count here, as Urdaneta was the last batter to get on base due to that fielding error. Williams now up to bat, had a single in his last plate appearance, takes the second pitch. Too far outside. Count runs to 1-1 now.
Ottinger just needs to stay focused here. Don't worry about the guy that reached via the error in Urdaneta. Just continue to focus on Darian Williams and focus on that batter.
Again, count is even at 1-1. The pitch here by Ottinger gets Williams to swing at that. Was completely fooled on that. Was Williams 1-2. Good comeback pitch by Ottinger. Now has another chance to finally retire the side here. 1-2. Crowd showing Ottinger some support. A lot of them do recognize him from his time here at the Mountaineers. The payoff pitch by Ottinger gets Edwin Williams to swing at that. A wild swing at that. Gets him off his feet. Three outs. Good, strong inning by Zach Ottinger.
Thank you.
this game as the leadoff hitter for this top, for this bottom half of the seventh is Caden Trenkel, making his third appearance up here at the plate. We'll face Lex Garcia again, who has earned himself another inning of work. First pitch to Trenkel is not in the strike zone there. Is called ball one to start off. Second pitch there is called a strike there to the center fielder. Did manage to get a single back in the second inning. Flew out last time and now gets his third chance here against Lex Garcia. Third pitch is smacked through the gap there on second and first. No chance for Williams to get a glove on that. Solid single to start off the seventh for the Black Bears.
Great piece of hitting there from Caden Trenkel, getting that one through the right side of the infield between Darian Williams, Hogan McIntosh, well out of both of their reaches, and the Black Bears offense continues to work really well here in this one.
Absolutely, and it's now the catcher, Mauricio Milan, who gets his fourth chance to record a hit, has gone hitless so far in this game so far, but gets his fourth chance here. Lex Garcia dishes out to him. Good take there by Mauricio Milan. Ball one to start the count. Again, the catcher is making his fourth trip here to throw to first base over to McIntosh to try and apply the tag to Trenkel. Is not in time. Trenkel in there safely. Garcia making sure that Trenkel doesn't think of running here. Second pitch to Milan is too high, to the catcher from El Paso, Texas, 2-0.
That's a great take there from Milan. That pitch a little bit closer to the zone than most will realize, and Milan was able to keep the bat on his shoulders.
Third pitch here is too far inside. Had to get his hands out of the way there, Milan. 3-0 count to Wichita State. Milan will play his next year there at Wichita State. 3-0 faces a 3-0 count now. The pitch from Garcia is high, too high to be called a strike. Milan earns himself a walk, and Trenkel will take the trip to second base.
Heads up awareness there from Mauricio Milan, recognizing that Lex Garcia needed to throw a strike and simply couldn't. And now you get two on, nobody out for Pinales.
And Pinales was successful back in the third inning, that was able to reach on a single and on a stolen base at that. Also walked back in the second, gets his fourth chance here against Garcia. First pitch is outside. Good take there by the second baseman, 1-0. Xavier Pinales again, batting ninth here. You don't want to flip this to the top half of the lineup if you're Garcia, as Pinales swings at that, but it's called, or foul tips that. Now the count runs to 1-1 as Lex Garcia tries to avoid some more damage here. Breaking ball there, doesn't break enough, and it's 2-1 to the second baseman.
Again, Pinales now showing the vision at the plate, not being fooled by that pitch, keeping it out of the zone.
The fourth pitch there is grounded to Williams, who isn't able to ground that. He fielded it cleanly. Pinales tries to go to second. The throw is in there by Cash. Gets Pinales. Is able to get Pinales at second. Does score a run, making it 12-3. But almost a great play there by Williams. Not enough. 12-3 Black Bears.
We'll have to look at this one on the replay. The ball goes off the glove of Adarian Williams. Throw comes home from Shibley, and then the throw back to second. Looked like Pinales was able to do the swim move, but the tag from Williams hit the chest, and that was what Mario Seneca saw. Nonetheless, 12-3 Black Bears.
Sam Creel making his way up to the plate. First pitch, a strike for Les Garcia, who does get the out, but some more runs are able to score there as Williams wasn't able to field it cleanly. Sam Krill for the fifth time making his way out there. Second pitch from Garcia is smacked opposite field. Just goes foul and over the wall here near left field. 0-2. 0-2 count to Sam Krill. Sam Krill again managed to have that big double back in the second inning. Struck out his last time, but has a chance to drive in more runs here. The pitch to Krill, too far inside on that breaking pitch. Catch is able to field it, though, making sure that the runner stays at third base.
That's a great block there from Cash, recognizing the significance of the play he needed to make. Not that nine runs is any different than 10 runs, but the principle of making the play and keeping a run off the board.
The pitch to Krill is fouled off here near the press boxes again. Almost caught by a fan with his hat, it seemed. Would have been a remarkable highlight play here at the ballpark.
And again, just when you thought you'd seen it all here in the MLB Draft League, almost have a fan making a play off of a ricochet with his hat.
The payoff pitch by Garcia is smacked into center field, dropped in front of Evans. An RBI surely for Sam Krill. Another RBI for Sam Krill. 13-3 Black Bears.
Well, I don't know what the Black Bears pregame meal was tonight, but this is something that they need to be eating on a daily basis because they are going out there, guns blazing, just driving in run after run. Krill taking it the opposite way, getting it to drop into no man's land as Milan had to hold at third, unaware of the fact that maybe Cole Evans could have got to it and then is able to score easily once the ball dropped onto the turf.
And Lex Garcia is struggling here, but there is finally some movement in the cross-cutter bullpen. Obviously too early yet to make the switch, but this is Garcia's mess to work himself out of. Runner on first as Sam Antonacci comes to the plate. Fouls that one off. The second pitch there, 1-1 with one out. Antonacci, like Sam Krill previously, making his fifth appearance now. Had a single in his last time up, looking to do at least the same here to advance the runner. Trying not to play into that double play. Pitch is high, too high for a strike, 2-1 now. The shortstop now, looking to do some more damage to Cross-Carters and to Lex Garcia. Garcia getting the call from Cash, making a sign out to him as he resets. Lex Garcia stepped off for a second, resets here, gets the call, peeks over to first, slings it over to first. Sam Krill there, no danger of being tagged out. Yep, 13-3 here is the score at Monongahela County Ballpark. The pitch there from Lex Garcia is, again, not able to find the strike zone. 3-1, in danger of walking him. Runner on first still.
Antonacci, no desperation to swing here. Hitters count, up by 10.
Has a crack at that one, Antonacci, but again, too far foul. Over here to the pavement here over by the team store. Again, the count runs full, 3-2, one out. Don't want to play into a double play here. Sam Krill at first, one out. The pitch by Lex Garcia is swung on to the despair of Sam Antonacci. Immediately regretted his decision to swing. A strikeout nonetheless, two outs for the Crosscutters.
And that pitch was well high and away, and as you mentioned, Manny, Antonacci knew it as soon as he started to go around that he shouldn't have, giving one to Lex Garcia there.
Two outs, a much needed second out for Lex Garcia as time is called here as Jax Cash and Garcia will have a chat. We do see action in both bullpens as we could see a pitching change before this game concludes. And we might see it now as the manager comes out to the mound and seems to sing over to the pen. And he does take the ball from Garcia. That'll be it for Garcia here.
be Mauricio Rodriguez coming in here for Williamsport out of the bullpen. 6'2", 215-pound right-hander out of Revere, Massachusetts, out of Calhoun Community College, committed to Rice University for the fall semester, just finishing up his sophomore campaign.
And like we mentioned, another pitching change for Williamsport. Mauricio Rodriguez gets the call out of, again, get some action here in a showcase game, a showcase league. It's always good to get some action, even with a 10-run deficit. But you do want him to perform good and get out of this if you are the Crosscutters here. Jax Cash giving him some words of encouragement out there, as he will face. Ryan McCoy. He will face the first baseman, Ryan McCoy, once he does get a few more tosses in.
You would have to imagine here for the Williamsport Crosscutters that this is the last guy they want to use out of the bullpen tonight. He's going to be left out there for the final four outs that the Crosscutters need to record, assuming that West Virginia doesn't have to come back to the plate in the bottom of the ninth.
Absolutely, and like you mentioned there, this would be the fifth pitcher used by the Crosscutters tonight. Obviously not the way you wanted to start off this road series, but the Blackbirds have managed to record 13 hits for their 13 runs so far in this game, 13-3, like we mentioned before. Here in the bottom of the seventh still, the Blackbirds have another chance to add to that as Sam Crow finds himself on first base and Ryan McCoy still eagerly taking some hacks over here as Mauricio Rodriguez warms up.
Wyatt Wendell warming up down in the West Virginia bullpen. He would be set to take the ball in the top of the eighth after a scoreless inning of work from Zach Ottinger.
Absolutely, and Jax Cash making his way out there to go over a few bits of advice, giving him some pointers over the game plan, I assume, as you don't want this deficit to balloon even more. But with the difference between 10 runs, 11, 12 doesn't really make much of a difference, but you want Rodriguez to be successful for Jax Cash making the trip out there. McCoy is finally ready. And the first pitch by Rodriguez gets the sign, winds up, and deals. And it is a swung on foul ball, 0-1 to McCoy. Like you mentioned, Drew, it does seem to be Wyatt Wendell warming up out there. He could take his first action here once this out is recorded, as the second pitch to McCoy is a ball thrown outside, 1-1.
McCoy, pitches that are near the zone aren't going to phase Ryan McCoy, much less when it's out of the zone. I mean, McCoy might as well take a quick 30-second nap.
The third pitch goes inside, too far low and inside there to the first baseman. Good take there by McCoy, 2-1. And like you mentioned there, we have seen him go opposite field, and we know he could absolutely pull it. Tough task here for Rodriguez to retire the side on McCoy especially. The sign to Rodriguez, the pitch, and it is again lined out there to the opposite side of the field from McCoy, but too far as it goes foul, 2-2.
McCoy continuing to show off his ability to go the opposite way that time. Just a little bit late to it and sent it into the left field berm.
Rodriguez looking to retire him on strikes here. The pitch is in there, and it is not enough for a strike. The count runs full. Sam Crow will surely run on this pitch as McCoy looks for his third consecutive double here. Ro- Rodriguez looking to work himself out of this jam. Crail goes. The pitch is fouled off. McCoy took a swing on it, but again goes backwards to the net. We will try again. 3-2.
That's a good swing there for McCoy just to stay alive. Take the pitch. That was a little bit too close for your liking and just dispose of it to the back of to the backstop and look to see another one.
Again, the 3-2 pitch comes in. Two outs. The pitch from Rodriguez is fouled off. One of the press boxes here. Took a couple of ricochets and into the hands of a lucky fan down there. McCoy doing a good job to stay in it, making Rodriguez work out of the pen. 3-2 for the third time. Rodriguez deals a pitch in, and it's swung on and missed by McCoy. Good pitch there by Rodriguez to retire the side. Not before the deficit runs to 13-3. We will head to the top of the eighth for the cross cutters to take their last couple swings at it. As we get the call overhead by the by the PA announcer Bill Nevins, we do get possibly the final pitching change for the West Virginia Black Bears as Wyatt Wendell makes his way into the ballgame. The righty out of Castle Rock, Colorado, plays his ball at Purdue, the 6'5", 220-pounder. Very excited to see Wyatt Wendell, if I'm being honest, Drew. He played for the Colorado junior team during high school and had a lot of success in his time at Purdue this past spring. Had a 5.44 ERA, 5.3 record, 13 starts on 14 appearances, 18 walks and 56 strikeouts this season. Finally makes his way onto the mound for the Black Bears.
Absolutely, and of course, Wendell making an appearance on the road for West Virginia, so it's the first time we get to see him here at Mon County Ballpark. Certainly an intriguing guy out of Purdue in the Big Ten. You know he's capable of facing elite hitters, and just like Zach Ottinger last inning, low leverage situation for him to work in and potentially record a scoreless eighth.
Absolutely, as we start the eighth here with Hogan McIntosh making his way to the plate for the fourth time. Looking to record his first hit here as Wendell winds up, deals, and the pitch is bounced in there for the first ball for McIntosh. Wendell seemingly comes from an athletic family. His dad pitched in the big leagues for 11 seasons. The second pitch there gets McIntosh to swing at that great pitch there. 1-1, even at 1-1. Wendell gets the sign there from Milan. The third pitch there to McIntosh is too far outside. Count runs to 2-1. And his dad, Wendell's dad, primarily pitched for the Cubs and Mets during his 11th season in the big leagues. Max just takes a swing at that, and it gets through the gap there between Pinales and McCoy. Records his first hit of the game. First hit given up by Wendell at home here for the Black Bears. Good start.
That ball just came off the end of the bat of McIntosh, but it got through the infield in a hurry as McIntosh was able to take it the opposite way and show off a little bit of power that he has in his swing, get himself on base for Jack's Cash.
Absolutely. He'll be relieved to finally get on base by his own doing as Wendell now faces Jack's Cash, the catcher. The first pitch is outside for a ball, 1-0 again to the cross-cutters catcher who singled all the way back and was one of those runs back in the second inning. Pitch back to first base to McCoy, try to get the tag there on McIntosh, nothing doing. Wendell gets the sign from Milan, goes into his routine, the windup, and the pitch is in there for a called strike on the outside part of the plate. Count even at 1-1.
Great location there from Wendell, able to hit the outer portion of the zone with the fastball, get himself back in the count.
Possible double play is in play here. Wendell, the third pitch to Jack's Cash, fouls it backwards, hits the overhang, and makes its way back to the crowd as lovely lady gets herself a souvenir there for her daughter. Count is 1-2 here. McIntosh on first. Pitch to Jack's Cash is inside, too high for the strike zone, 2-2.
Cash really had to dodge out of the way of that one as Wendell released it a bit too soon and just pitch continued to sail up and in, and Cash luckily was able to get out of the way.
Count even at 2-2. McIntosh on first. Jack's Cash for the fourth time up to bat. Swings and misses on that pitch. Great pitch location. Finally gets the first out. Wendell, good pitch there to get Cash swinging on that breaking ball low. No chance for Cash.
Perfect execution there from Wyatt Wendell, going down and away, recognizing the importance of needing to get that first out and being able to do so successfully.
Alan Shibley makes his way to the plate for the fourth time. Wyatt's pitch is in there off the glove of Milan, gets away from the catcher, and McIntosh is able to get to second base on that pass ball there. Unfortunate there for Wendell. As McIntosh takes it to second base.
Not only does it put a runner in scoring position against Wyatt Wendell, but it also takes the potential inning-ending double play out of order. Rather, the traditional double play.
And the pitch in there again is outside, breaking towards the outside part of the play, too far outside. 2-0 now, one out. As Shibley struck out last time, trying to avoid that same circumstance here. Runner in scoring position. The pitch by Wendell is in there. Gets the outside part of the plate. Much needed strike there. 2-1.
That's exactly what you want if you're Wyatt Wendell. Just continue to work pitch by pitch. Get yourself back into each at bat and take it one batter at a time.
The pitch again by Wendell is fouled off the bat of Shibley, making the count run. Even the 2-2, one out. As Wendell tries to escape through this top half of the eighth inning without giving up a run and can maintaining that 10-run lead here. Alan Shibley doing a good job of protecting. Has to do the same here. 2-2, the pitch is in there. Breaks, but not enough to catch the outside part of the plate. Run. The count runs full now to 3-2.
Saw maybe Vish Gotham was going to ring up a hitter there in Shibley, but pitched just a bit too far outside for his liking.
Again, the payoff pitch here. Count full. 3-2. Gets himself a strikeout as Shibley seemed to think that was a ball was going down first base, but as we see it here on the replay monitor, just catches the inside part of the plate. Gets the much needed second out. Good strikeout there by Wendell.
And Milan's glove moved slightly towards the left-handed batter's box, and that could have been what Shibley saw and began his trot down to first base, but Vish Gotham says otherwise.
The pitch is in there, breaking pitch in there again, out of the glove of Milan. We've seen that a couple times, but a strike nonetheless. 0-1 here to Logan Flood. The left fielder looking for his first hit of the ball game. Three consecutive groundouts prior to this. 0-1. The pitch by Wendell is smacked into the gap. Will surely score the runner from second. And it gets all the way to the wall there as Sam Crail lets it go all the way there. Logan Flood is gunning towards third. Easily cruises in. It's a ball. It's hit. It's thrown over the head of Anglin. But Flood will not move. An RBI triple there for the left fielder.
You see here on the replay, Crail took the wrong angle to it. Came across horizontally, moving from right to right center rather than trying to run at a diagonal and cut the ball off, which is what allowed it to roll all the way to the wall. And that cost the Black Bears another base, as had Crail gotten to that one and avoided letting it go to the wall, Flood probably would have stopped at second.
Absolutely, and now another pass ball by Milan goes to the backstop, and it doesn't rebound off, and it seemed like it would have scored Flood from third as it just stopped dead in its tracks back there, but Flood hesitant and remains on third.
Looked like Flood didn't necessarily get a good jump off of the third base bag, which is what prompted him to run back to third base, and the Black Bears fortunate there as that one was well away from Mauricio Milan on the wild pitch.
And Nunez, why does he took ball one? The second pitch to Nunez here is, again, taken for ball two. Too low to be called a strike there. 2-0 to the third baseman. Looking to record their fifth run of the game off the bat of Nunez. The 2-0. The pitch is in, and it's smacked opposite field, but it goes foul. Good field job there by the first base coach there. The count is 2-1. Logan Flood on third. Two outs. Isaac Nunez grounded out last time. 2-1 here. The pitch by Wendell is too high there. Count is 3-1 now. In danger of walking the third baseman here.
Wyatt Wendell just needing to focus here. Take it pitch by pitch. Forget about the runner in Flood over at third.
The pitch is in here, smacked right up the middle. Good fielding there by Antonacci. Fires it to first in time to Ryan McCoy. Great play there by Antonacci, retiring the side, avoiding that other run to come in. As we see here on the replay monitor, good job to retire the cross cutters.
That was an absolutely tremendous play there from Sam Antonacci. On the outfield grass, having to range well to his left, dive and make the grab, robbing the cross cutters of a run as we're through 7.5.
getting to the bottom half of the eighth inning. Leading off will be Blaze Brothers making his fifth trip to the plate. Recorded a strikeout last time, but now gets the chance to face Rodriguez here. The first pitch to Brothers is inside for a ball, 1-0. Blaze Brothers, as we mentioned, early success in this game. Two singles just in the second inning, couple stolen bases. As the second pitch goes into him there, good frame job there by Jax Cash, 1-1 to the left fielder.
Blaze Brothers certainly recognizing that that pitch caught the zone, but just looking to work the count here against Mauricio Rodriguez.
The third pitch to Brothers is outside there, too far outside, close to the last pitch, but again, like I said, too far outside, 2-1 now to Brothers. Early success again, like I mentioned, for Brothers. Singled since then and had a strike on his last at-bat. As the 2-1 gets to him, swinging strike two for the left fielder. Was fooled by that breaking pitch there. Count runs even the 2-2.
And a credit to Mauricio Rodriguez for being able to go to that pitch down and away. Brothers started his swing. Saw a little bit of hesitation, like he wanted to hold up, but momentum carrying him forward and had to continue with the swing.
The payoff pitch is too far outside, bounces in there. Good fielding there by Jax Cash to avoid the pass ball. Full count to Blaze Brothers. Played his college ball, played two seasons at Cali County Community College before switching over. And the lined drive into the gap between Ordaneta and Nunez. Another single for the left fielder. Blaze Brothers makes his way to first base yet again.
A four-hit day for Blaze Brothers. All singles, but he will gladly take it as that one was past the diving Josue Urdaneta, as you heard Manny mention. And Brothers just continues to hit the ball all over the place and find ways to get on.
And like you mentioned, there is fourth single. We know how dangerous he is running the bases and how aggressive the Black Bears have been. As Hunter May also comes up to the plate now, two sack flies previous to this as he takes a hack at it towards third base, but will roll foul. Like we said, Hunter May DHing tonight, not relieving the catcher duties to Mauricio Milan. He's responsible for driving in two runs previously on two sack flies. Perhaps cooling off a bit from his scorching hot weekend here as the second pitch to him comes in. And it is called a strike near the upper half of the strike zone. 0-2.